your broadcast with your host, Spread Love, on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4pm Eastern Time, Studio A.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hello and welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is March 5, 2022. And welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, here we are. Here we are watching the greatest show on Earth. A literal three-ring circus complete with clowns and lions, tigers, and bears. And we really are in a world where there are more questions than answers. More so than ever, huh? You know, like after 2 years of COVID fear porn, and it's been suddenly transformed into Vlad the Impaler Putin, taking the spotlight as the newest WWF supervillain, all at the flick of a switch. Yes, the man who is going to single-handedly destroy not only our democracy, but destroy the world's economy and possibly send the world into a nuclear holocaust, all in one fell swoop. He's mean, he's bad, and he kicks puppies just for fun. He's 5'7", and weighs in at 168 pounds. He's the baddest bad guy since Adolf Hitler. He's twice as bad as Trump, and he's coming to your town soon, kicking ass and taking names. He's Vlad the Impaler Putin. Oh, yeah. And guys, I don't know about you, but I have more questions than answers right now about this whole Ukrainian theater. Yes, the Ukrainian theater you know, it's just a lot of things aren't adding up for me personally. And of course, we're all supposed to be caught up in the newest drama, the newest dialectic, right? The dialectic of Putin either being a liberator who is taking out New World Order biolabs and child sex rings, making a valiant stand against the evil Nazis, yes, he's denazifying Ukraine, apparently. That's a little odd, given that, you know, most of the top positions in the government in Ukraine right now, including the president, are all Jewish or Khazars. And it doesn't quite add up. And it's amazing. It's just amazing to me that we are still caught up in the evil Nazi paradigm. After all of these years. Yes. The evil Nazi paradigm continues. And guys, maybe they really did clone Adolf Hitler down there in South America. It's possible. Like that movie, what was it, Boys from Brazil? Yeah. And of course, you know, this Zelensky character, he's not a dual citizen, guys. Oh no, he's not a dual citizen. This guy holds three passports. Three. Ukrainian, a Cyprus passport, and of course, the oh-so-important Israeli passport. But he's what, the Lion of Ukraine now, or something like that. And of course, just the other day, Zelensky claimed that Vlad the Impaler Putin bombed a Holocaust monument in Ukraine, killing five people, even though the monument still stands. And guys, I don't know if you caught this, but this is very interesting. This Zelensky character sent out a tweet the other day calling upon Jews from around the world to come to Ukraine and fight the evil Nazis. Wait, no, I mean the Russians, to fight the Russians. But seriously, yeah, guys, he sent out a tweet calling upon Jews from around the world to come to Ukraine and fight. I found that to be very interesting on several levels. Yes, to fight the Russians. And apparently the Russians are fighting the Ukrainian Nazis. Nazis who are aligned with the Jew Zelensky. This is confusing, is it not? At least a little bit. And on some levels, this seems like a giant shit show to me. Yeah. Jews from around the world come to fight for Ukraine or Khazaria or Israel 2.0. Who knows? Again, more questions than answers here. And of course, when you overlay the boundaries of the ancient Khazarian Empire over the modern day boundaries of Ukraine, they almost match perfectly. I think it's hard to write that one off as a coincidence. So yeah, we have Israel 2.0 in play here too. I think there's a lot of subplots going on here that we're not supposed to notice as we get caught up in this grand dialectic. And of course, we have to consider the possibility that the international banking cabal is playing both sides of this international show. It's possible that the intergalactic Ferengi may have a hidden hand on both sides here. It wouldn't be the first time that both sides of a war were controlled from a central source, guys. That is a possibility. But, you know, it's easy to lose sight of that when you get caught up in the emotion of rooting for one side or the other. And I'm just amazed by this alleged mainstream media, the enemy war transmissions, and it really is enemy war transmissions now. The mainstream media is just laying on the tears, laying on the heartache about the civilian suffering in Ukraine, which, you know, that's legitimate, of course, but after 20 years of not mentioning a word about civilian suffering in Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya, for that matter, it goes on and on the list. But now it's like we're seeing, you know, all these scenes of, you know, babies being born in the subway and, you know, crying women. And, you know, it's really amazing just to see the mechanizations of wartime propaganda designed to get inside your head and alter your thinking, right? It's interesting to watch it happen in real time. But one thing is for sure, this conflict is serving to further the grand agenda, the great work, on several levels. And just, I believe it was yesterday, the international elf currently occupying the office of Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, stated that they are trying to decimate Russia's economy. To decimate Russia's economy. Them's fighting words, guys. Yeah. And maybe so. Maybe this will damage Russia's economy. I'm sure it will. But at the same time, it's going to do serious damage to the economies of Europe and America and all over the West. And it's great they have someone else to blame this on, right? To blame the high gas prices on. Gas prices in Southern California have topped $5. In many places. And last week I saw $6 gas when I was driving through Hollywood, up when I was up in LA last week. $6 gas. Not that I hang out in Hollywood. Just happened to be driving through watching the show. And guys, that's just the beginning. These gas prices are probably going to go a lot higher than that. And, you know, there's some big shot, you know, hedge fund managers and traders, former traders at BlackRock that are calling for $185 per barrel crude later this year and possibly $200 a barrel crude by the end of the year if Russian crude is continued to be disrupted from the market. And what's odd is that, you know, there's no official ban on Russian crude, but many large oil companies are apparently refusing to buy Russian crude because the Russian oil is stained with the blood of Ukrainians. That's quite a propaganda line, isn't it? That's right out of the wartime propaganda from World War I and World War II. Incubator babies. Yeah. So it's interesting how we have these capitalist corporations refusing to engage in commerce over some kind of political theater. And again, we're seeing the big corporations do the dirty work for the governments, right? Oh, there's no, we haven't banned Russian crude oil, but somehow the corporations seem to go lockstep with the agenda, just like they did with COVID. Yeah. And I, you know, I thought we lived in this capitalist system, guys. The market rules, free market rules. And since when did morality play a role in buying and selling oil? That's a new one. Yeah, guys, I think we're being played in more ways than one here. This is a complicated scenario we're in, and there's no easy answers. And, you know, next hour I'm going to bring on the great Dennis Fecho, who really does have a talent for sort of analyzing these kinds of situations, and we'll see what he thinks. Then hour number three, Jimmy Jean returns to the airwaves of Revolution Radio with some interesting stories, and we'll get his take on this Ukrainian theater as well. Yeah, we're being played in a lot of different ways, guys. And, you know, if Vladimir Putin really is doing this all-out assault on Ukraine, why is the power and internet on pretty much all over Ukraine? You'd think one of the first things you'd want to do is cut off all communications, all cell phones, power, and internet. It would both demoralize the enemy and send a shockwave of fear and make communication rather difficult. And guys, how about that 40-mile long convoy that is suddenly just stalled outside of Ukraine? And you have to ask yourself, why would you make one single convoy that long on a narrow two-lane road? And now the mainstream media, the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media, is saying that the tanks are running out of gas. Apparently, Putin forgot to buy enough gas for the tanks. Minor oversight there on planning. We'll get that right next time. And apparently the Russian soldiers are running out of bullets, too. I hate when that happens. These are not plausible scenarios in a lot of ways. And it's something to really think about. How deep does this rabbit hole really go here? And, you know, if the goal really is to topple the Ukrainian government, why not just blitzkrieg into Kyiv as fast as possible? I mean, do it so fast that you catch all the politicians with their pants down, take over all the government buildings, arrest the politicians immediately, and tell the rest of the country to stand down or face attack. That's how they, you know, toppled the government back in 2014. I mean, and that's the story, right? All this big mob appeared in front of the presidential palace and the parliament building and toppled the government by the will of the people. And they didn't even have tanks. That's the story we're told anyway. Yeah, back in 2014. So again, more questions than answers right now. And that would just caution coming to any definite conclusions about what's really going on right now. Because personally, I'm not going to buy into either side of the dialectic right now. And I'm looking for the hidden hand the hidden hand that is directing this play. So I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers right now. And I think we're going to know more as things progress. And of course, the big question is, we have to ask ourselves, is why is all this happening right now at the very moment that Operation COVID Hoax was essentially unraveling like a cheap sweater? Why is this happening at this very moment? Why did Putin pull the trigger so that those two events coincide? Because after all, guys, this situation has been brewing for 8 years now. 8 years. So why pull the trigger at this very moment? And you have to admit, the timing of this is certainly a little suspicious, let's say. So I kind of see, you know, like five basic scenarios as possible. And of course, the answer may lay inside a little bit of each one of these scenarios. But scenario number one is that Putin is liberating Ukraine, taking out bio labs, and stopping child trafficking. It's certainly possible. And there's no question that, you know, NATO and the West are the aggressors here. You know, on a certain level of analysis, depending on what, you know, level you're looking at here, there's no question Russia has some legitimate beefs here, big time. You know, five waves of NATO expansion. Five waves. And trying to turn a historically Russian territory into part of Europe. I mean, that's amazing how many people now are starting to think that Ukraine somehow was part of Europe. Well, if Ukraine is part of Europe, so are all the other Eastern Bloc countries. And you have to ask yourself, you know, what is going to happen to all the refugees that are fleeing Ukraine? And they're claiming now that there's over 1.3 million refugees. And of course, all of them, for the most part, are women and children. That sounds like some easy pickings for sex traffickers and child traffickers. So you have to, at the very least, wonder about that. And it certainly fits into a larger agenda of displacing populations, you know, and creating refugee crises to sort of shift the population around within a country or a region. And guys, check this out. Check this out. A few days ago, I was watching a little bit of NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. This is an absurd excuse for news. But anyway, they were saying on this broadcast that 660,000 refugees had fled Ukraine in the last 6 days. 660,000 in the last 6 days. And obviously there's a hidden 666 in there, pretty blatantly, thinly veiled for those who can kind of see through the secret messaging going on there. 660,000 in the last 6 days. That's amazing. And it kind of reminds me of that, you know, Groper Joe was talking about passing some bill or something they were going to do that was really important. And he said, well, we'll have this problem solved. It might take 6 months. It might take 6 weeks or 6 days. Yeah. Come on, guys. They're putting this right in our faces, hidden in plain sight for sure. So, yeah, scenario number one, Putin is liberating Ukraine, taking out bio labs and stopping child trafficking. Certainly possible, but all those refugees are certainly, you know, a possible field day for those who would want to engage in such activities. Then scenario number two, we have the West narrative that bad Putin has attacked Ukraine without any provocation whatsoever. And obviously this narrative doesn't hold very much water. It's the least plausible by far of all the scenarios. Yet we're supposed to believe this scenario as Americans. I'm sure you guys caught the pictures of, you know, all the Congress critters wearing Ukrainian flags, and they even made some, you know, essentially a desecration of the American flag where the bottom part is like Ukraine, and then, it, you know, it has the little symbols of Ukraine inside the blue box along with the stars and stripes. Just incredible. A real indication this is some kind of big event. And in some ways, guys, it has to be bigger than COVID. If you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, they're not going to lose momentum here. They've built up so much momentum. They can't let the momentum fall back. Not now. So scenario number two is bad Putin. Scenario number three is that this is a fight over a pipeline and preventing a Russian-German alliance of any kind, which has been verboten by the architects of the grand chessboard. No German-Russian alliance will be allowed. And it's interesting how, like, so many of these wars just happen to have an oil pipeline involved somewhere. Obviously, that's more than a coincidence, too. Scenario number four is Israel 2.0, a backup plan in case Israel goes sideways, which it could for a variety of reasons. And, of course, it's interesting that both Ukraine and Israel share many things in common, including the fact that neither country has ever declared official borders. And scenario number five is that this is all a giant shit show designed to keep our minds off the unraveling COVID narrative and the possible coming death wave and the wave of exotic autoimmune diseases that we've never heard of before, that they're going to try to normalize and make it. It was always that way. Young people always got thrombosis and myocarditis. It's always been that way, guys. And in scenario number five, this provides a supervillain to blame the crashing economy on, to blame the skyrocketing inflation on. It's all Putin's fault, guys. He did it, not us. And you can kind of see how if they really do try to clamp down on Russian oil, which would all just end up going to China anyway, but if they cut the West off from it, that's the important part, they cut the West off from it, we'll have no choice but to go green, guys. We can see from the current world events that Oil is too problematic and expensive now. It's too dangerous. Time to build more windmills, even though they don't spin most of the time. And there probably is, you know, truth, or certainly is truth in all of those scenarios, except for the scenario we are supposed to believe in the West. That's the least credible by far. But conversely, I don't think we should assume that Putin is the good guy here. It may not be that simple. There may be other things going on that are simply not allowed to be said to the public. And that said, I would like to bring on my co-host and my main man and partner in crime, Mr. Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe, how are you, sir?
I'm living the dream. I actually am now with our closing on our house Wednesday and massive amount of work, but it's good to get rid of a lot of things you don't need anymore. I mean, I'm at 100 pounds lost now, so I don't need the fat clothes anymore, and donating to Vietnam veterans. There's a cool charity called Vietnam Veterans of America, VVA.org, and those guys got shafted in so many ways, and so I like to donate to them.
Yes, all right, good. That's great. That's great. So what are your thoughts on the Ukrainian theater? What scenario do you find most credible, or what are your just thoughts in general on it?
You know, I'm much like you. We've previously discussed on shows like your show last week and off air that none of this is really adding up as an obvious, well-planned scenario. You know, in some ways, I guess I'm still 70% Putin seems to be serving the nationalistic interest of Mother Russia, and 30% he's part of it. And especially the more you look into Zelensky, I don't know if you remember the movie. I think there were even two movies like 20 years ago in the 90s or 25 years ago. There was one with the comedic guy who was really big, Kevin something. It was called Dave, you know, and this average guy got to be president. And then I think there was another movie back then where Robin Williams played some guy who was a comedian who actually got to be president, or a radio talk show host like Rush Limbaugh got elected president or something. He was that's who this guy is. He's a bad, you know, chicken-swinging woke comedian who – got installed by the color revolution. I mean, I don't have all the names memorized, but the legitimately elected president back in, I think it starts with a Y, like whatever. I don't know. I'm tired today. But anyway, that guy was legitimately elected and was very, you know, aligned with Russia. And all of a sudden, here comes that disgusting, traitorous, subhuman beast, Victoria Kagan Nuland, to lead the color revolution, funded by a ton of U.S. government money, which is our money, as well as the gray market Soros money. And they literally installed this clown Zelensky, who's just a triple citizen traitor. He's got no actual loyalty to Ukraine. He's loyal to the Rothschild empire. And what is so bizarre and how they mock the Goyim normies is this guy has no business being installed at any level of political power, but because he is truly their puppet, and they're mocking Putin and mocking the people of the Ukraine who legitimately elected a real leader. And so, I don't know. There was someone who said in the chat room, I think, that they said that they think that the globalists I'll put it up there. This is interesting. Anti-X. Again, I don't think the globalists expected Putin's move. I do think the globalists have been pushing for World War III, setting up a trigger point in Ukraine, but I'd like to think they were taken by surprise by Putin's move. In some ways, it does seem like they either were taken by surprise or acting like it, at least, because, you know, they don't have a coherent plan. They're scrambling to, you know, it's this massive false flag media blitz. You know, it's like your cogent observations about what the heck is really going on there. I mean, there's certainly something going on, and, you know, the Russian military is having no problem taking the country over. I mean, Mr. Rowe, the brilliant Mr. Rowe, a host of Rev Radio and management and technocrat, or savvy, I guess. I don't know that he's a technocrat, is posted a graphic that was in Russian showing that essentially by today the Russian army will have completely encircled the Ukraine army. And so it's just a matter of, will Ukraine show some savvy, or will they sacrifice, you know, 100,000 poor souls to be slaughtered by the far superior might of the Russian army? So it's really interesting that Russia had enough, Putin had enough. And your point, it's just so absurd, Dave, that everything's Nazi, 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 Nazi. You know, you've seen that meme where they have from that Spider-Man cartoon where there's a bunch of different multiverse Spider-Mans all pointing to each other. And that's like Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. How can everybody be a Nazi? In fact, what's so embarrassing to me is the normies who fall for this. If you step back and looked at what the word national socialist meant, and now it needs to be national populist, everyone should be in favor of national populism, because it's the only way to save your country, save your family, and save the world, because globalism is satanically evil Rothschild soulless minions, and they wield enormous power. So all these celebrity idiots and all these, you know, puppets in our government, like the pillow biting voracious procurer of homosexual prostitutes, Lady G, Lindsey Graham. Here I have one of my favorite jokes of all time is, what does it sound like when Lindsey Graham passes gas? Because he's so torn up there in the back door. I mean, and he calls for Putin to be assassinated. I mean, what? I mean, so the observation of the chatter that they might have been caught by surprise because they're acting so desperate might have some credence.
Well, yeah, I kind of like your 70-30 split on Putin. And, you know, Paul English said it very well, that Putin is the least worst politician on the world stage.
Right.
I think that's very well said, because he's certainly done a lot of nationalistic things, but, you know, on the other hand, against that is he went along with the COVID hoax dance and, you know, even did some lockdowns and some, you know, dancing the globalist dance there for sure. And, you know, so you have to look, is that like what was going on there? And then just the timing of this, I find, is so utterly suspicious. And, you know, he did sort of put his tanks on the border for like a month before this started. So I don't know how completely caught off guard they would be, but maybe they didn't expect him to really do it. Maybe that's the point of the chatters. Maybe it was just, they thought it was going to be a bluff. I don't know. You know, again, I have more questions than answers on this, but, you know, one thing that bothers me too is you've got these refugees, you know, flooding all over to these other countries. And, that's certainly a tactic of the globalists. They love to have refugees,
right,
just to displace populations and sort of reconfigure the population of countries and to water down the culture of a nation. So this fits into that. And it also fits into, well, gosh, you have all the refugees just happen to be women and children. That certainly would be some, you know, a nice recruiting ground for, you know, sex trafficking and child trafficking. I don't know. What are your thoughts on those points?
Those are very, very good points and compelling to the 70% side of things. And it just dawned on me, another thing is, like, look at how Putin went in and really cock-blocked the Greater Israeli Project by supporting Syria, and he totally exposed the scam of that traitor John McClain and the pillow biter Lindsey Graham back in the day, where they were all about supporting al-Qaeda and ISIS, which is ISIS is just a Mossad dressing up as Arabs. And so the, you know, he got in there and totally cleaned them out because they were trying to do the color revolution on Syria. So there is some precedent to believe that he does not want the globalists to amass power that way. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, but, you know, isn't it strange how, you know, Putin was able to take care of business in Syria in a matter of days and shut the whole operation down. And this seems to be to have some serious, you know, flaws in the sort of the scenario or the planning that I find hard to explain away, like the 40-mile convoy that's just stalled, essentially. And it's weird that it hasn't been attacked.
Right.
I mean, it's a, literally a sitting duck for all kinds of attack, but it hasn't really happened. So, you know, there's a lot of things that don't add up, but they're, you know, I just cautious in jumping into the dialectic here and assuming that we're supposed to root for one side or the other. This could be also a sort of an internal power struggle between different factions inside, you know, the New World Order cabal. I don't know. I mean, that's, what do you think of that scenario?
I think it's very complex. I mean, if it was, you know, so many of, when we do our work with the great Jim Fetzer on false flags, so many of them can be so easily shredded. I mean, look at, the Boston bombing. And did you see the Supreme Court reinstall the death penalty for that poor Patsy young man? I mean, now he's an adult, but that poor kid, I mean, he got set up and they murdered his older brother So yeah. That was so obvious, but this one is so complex and so many, as you so insightfully laid out the various scenarios, there's so many things going on that just don't add up in a basic way and can be, you know, pulled apart like a threads out of a cheap sweater. This, there's a lot going on here. I mean, you haven't also brought up the fact that the globalists went all in with the, mass murdering COVID scamdemic. And that's all falling apart, so they needed a massive distraction. And oh, all of a sudden, Ukraine, oh, pray for Ukraine. I'm gonna go fight for Ukraine. I mean that just took the scamdemic off the map of every globalist media and also disappeared Tony the Rat Fauci, who must now be in witness protection or something. I mean, you hear nothing from that guy anymore. It's so interesting.
Yeah, he kind of laying low right now.
Yeah,
and, you know, the timing of this is odd, too. You know, as you said, the whole narrative is just completely falling apart, and they're really in a place where this is being exposed for what it was. So we've got to have something really big to change the conversation. And, you know, why did Putin pull the trigger at the perfect timing for the cover up of this COVID hoax story unraveling? Because just think, if this wasn't going on, if we didn't have Ukraine to be thinking about right now, I mean, we would just be seeing this COVID narrative just falling apart and no way to stop it. I mean, I think everyone knows someone now that's been vaccine, or I didn't want to call it that, you know, damaged by this death shot, or killed. I think everyone has had that in their life, but I think a lot fewer people know someone that actually died of COVID without being put in the hospital, on a ventilator in remdesivir. So, it's just the timing of this. It benefits the international Ferengi, let's say that.
That was always my favorite. When they, the Star Trek, you know, after Roddenberry left, the next generation, pun intended now, who they brought in the Ferengi, which was so obviously mocking the Internationalist elf. I loved the Ferengi episodes. Those were really good.
Yeah, we have the International Elf and the Intergalactic Ferengi.
Yes, they're everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah,
really good insightful comment there from Blackbird 9 about I've never seen such flood the zone propaganda since 9/11. This is insane. Yeah,
is insane. That's exactly it. I mean, it's so over the top, and I think that, you know, again, that could be because they really went all in and overplayed the genetic experimentation that miserably failed and is murdering, in the process of murdering right now, millions, and then it's going to be tens of millions, then it's going to be hundreds of millions in the next few years. And so they needed something to take the great silent majority's attention away from the fact that, dad just got fast acting cancer from the jab, and Tommy, our hope for the family, who's going to be a pro athlete, just had a massive heart attack and keeled over dead. So we can't think about that. We have to sign up and go fight for Ukraine. So
it's and Jews from around the world need to come fight for Ukraine.
Yeah,
says the comedian. And you know, I saw some footage of him just really showing how debased his act was.
Oh, with that leather dancing with the chaps, looking like a Lindsey Graham partner. Yeah, funny.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. The one I was going to refer to is him playing the piano with his penis.
Oh, jeez, I didn't see that one. Yeah,
yeah,
I saw.
Yeah,
that.
What they did is they sort of have, you know, had him positioned behind the piano, and then his arms up in the air and sort of rocking back and forth, and the piano playing. And that was supposed to be very funny, you know, and it just shows you the kind of debased humor that we're supposed to, you know, enjoy and be entertained by. And this is the man that's the president who has not two, but three passports. And of course, let's not forget that the Holocaust Memorial was bombed by the Russians. Oops, wait, it's still standing. Well, they bombed it, I'm telling you.
Yeah, man, that's it. So much of this doesn't add up. And then, you know, there's some people who are like, oh, I'm backing Trump and Putin. And, you know, certainly if they deliver for the masses and the silent majority, I'm all for it. But another thing that still doesn't make sense to me about, Vlad the Impaler, that was a great intro, by the way, is, that, you know, the guy totally took on the transnational genetic modification crimes against humanity with no GMO foods in Russia, go organic, you know, paying people to have babies, don't get away from pharmaceuticals, be natural, all good stuff. And then he turns around and is part of, which is obviously a gain of function bioweapon intentionally released, obviously a massive rebranding of the typical cold flu common cold season, which is boom there, 38 million in 2019, 2020. And then a year later, COVID cured the flu. How about that? It's a miracle. Thank God for the Jew jabs and the Jewy Jew Steins at Pfizer and Moderna. They saved us all. Not. So yeah, I mean, it's weird. Again, the whole complexity of this, it's not, he may be a hero, but he's certainly, maybe he's walking the razor's edge, because if he goes too far too fast, you know, they will get to him. So I don't know. It's just, it all doesn't make sense.
No, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. And, you know, maybe Vladimir Putin deserves the Nobel Peace Prize because he single-handedly cured COVID.
Yeah, another great line from Blackbird. It's another Holocaust miracle. There's so many. The survivors who all survived. Yeah.
It survived.
Too much. Yeah.
And it is strange, too, that when they blew up the TV tower, it didn't fall over. It stayed standing. Yeah. I don't know. So there's a lot of strange things going on here. And what do you think about Israel 2.0 being in play here? I think that's another thing that's, you know, lurking in the background as the international or the intergalactic Ferengi hides behind the curtain. What do you think about Israel 2.0?
That is a very compelling insight. If you've seen the same overlay graphics of what was once Khazaria is essentially the Ukraine now, and just over the last year, the Israeli Ferengi were barking so proudly that, yeah, no, we're not actually from the Middle East. We're Khazarians, you know, Khazars. And so all of a sudden it all becomes important to have, Israel 2.0 on the, right on the Russian border. And then another thing to factor in is that back when, the international Ferengi got really rolling at the end of the 19th century with the World Zionist Council and the subhuman Satanists like Moses Hess and Theodor Herzl, they started that blood libel on both Germany and Russia because the Tsar Nicholas Alexander and Kaiser Wilhelm totally blocked their effort to create the One World Bank and the One World Government then, and they swore that, you know, they will never allow Russia or Germany to be independent and blah, blah, blah. So this could be part of that as well.
Yeah, those are great points. Those are great points. Yeah, and, you know, it was author Kessler's book on Khazaria and Jews being Khazarians. I first came across that book, oh, gosh, like in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s. And it was accused of being anti-Semitic. I mean, it was full of lies. None of this is true. This is, you know, he's a self-hating Jew, you know, the typical stories. And now, as you just pointed out, they're admitting it. So it's interesting how the story can change depending on what's most beneficial for the intergalactic Ferengi.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, they used to vehemently deny that they were Khazars and all this and that. And it's funny how this is a very bizarre, complex one for sure, and which makes it interesting to monitor. But I'll tell you what is really shocking is BB9. We put it up a few moments ago. I haven't seen any type of insane gaslighting, propagandistic lying since 9/11. I mean, there's been a lot of lies, right? I mean, look at Step and Fetch It, Colin Powell going before NATO and claiming that this is the weapons of mass destruction, and look at those tubes. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of lying, but this is way off the chain compared to even that. I mean, this is really bizarre how they're trying to get the whole world behind that. I mean, it's some kind of weird psychological operation for sure.
Well, yeah, and the other thing that it's hard to understand, you know, Putin's motivation in some ways, because now there really is this wedge between Russia and the West that's not going to end anytime soon. I mean, this is going to go on no matter what happens, the final outcome of this theater, however it ends, there's going to be this huge division between Russia and the Western world that's going to go on for, you know, at least a decade. And, you know, one thing I see as a possibility, this may mark the exit of Vladimir Putin from the world stage, either through, you know, oh, he's dead somehow, or he resigns. That's another scenario that might be coming into play. And if it is sort of the end of his era, we're going to see, you know, the color revolution come to Russia, and we're going to see, you know, a rejoicing of gay dancers in the streets, you know, in Russia soon. I don't know. What do you think about that?
That is an excellent point, because everything factors in to the Great Reset, the Build Back Better with the three sixes as 666, the New World Order. That, and he doesn't want that, clearly. He is not playing dancing to that tune, so... Yeah, it would be really interesting to see if they can get rid of him, and you will have Zelensky 2.0 as the head of Russia. Then you are absolutely right. I salute you for that observation. That is really the bottom line, what they really want. They want to control Russia. Yep.
See, someone in the chat is saying old school KGB wet worked I doubt that. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It just depends on, you know, where Putin fits in the hierarchy, who's running the different factions of Russian intelligence. See, these are things that we just don't have access to knowing what's really going on behind the scenes in Russia, how much internal support he has or doesn't have. And of course, you know, it's funny how on the mainstream news, the NBC Nightly News, you know, the enemy war transmissions, they were talking about, you know, all these Russian oligarchs turning against Putin. And of course, most of them looked very Jewish.
Ferengi.
What's that?
Ferengi. They look like Ferengis for sure.
Yeah. Ferengi. Yeah. So, it's, you know, again, there's a lot of the pieces of the puzzles that none of us have right now. And, yeah, Putin's a mixed bag. He's like, I think Paul English summed it up well. He's the least worst figure on the international stage right now.
Yeah, Paul English, what a brilliant guy. And it's an honor to be working with him now because as of last week, Operation Scorpio, The Perfect Triangle, and are being simulcast live on the new Speak Free network that is in advanced beta testing. And there's listeners. In fact, I should log into Gab. We had a guy listening last week, and I let me load Gab up here. Gee, let me add another chat room. Our three is not enough.
Yeah.
Multitasking. Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's really something else, but this is, it's all part of this great reset. I mean, we can't like act like this isn't part of, you know, so is Putin in on it or is Putin slowing the progress? But God, they're all in with this insanity of the New World Order, One World Government. 666, baby. Here we go.
660,000 refugees in 6 days, Giuseppe.
Yeah. How about that? What an interesting, coincidence.
Yeah, so in just a few minutes after the top of the hour, the great Dennis Fetcher is going to come on and give us his analysis. A man who I think is truly talented in kind of unraveling some of these complex affairs. So looking for that.
Oh, he's great. He's a big fan of Dennis, yep.
Who's this for? Comes Black TV. Oops. Got back. Fetcher 8 or 9.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left it for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, welcome back to our number two of Operation Scorpio. And first, I just want to thank, you know, all the guys in the chat rooms on Twitch, Revolution Radio, and Chatango. Really insightful comments coming in over and over, guys. Thank you for those comments. It's great to see such cogent and intelligent people are on board listening. And in this hour, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on Mr. Dennis Fecho, a man who knows the ways of the intergalactic Ferengi, the international elf, and the international Jew. Dennis, how are you, sir?
Well, Scorpio, Dennis just sent a Skype message. He's having computer problems. He's rebooting, so he should be here any moment.
Okay, great. We'll just have to make do without Dennis for a few minutes, but I am looking forward to his take on this. And, Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, Dennis does two phenomenal shows. He's been, it's like 11, 12 years, Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Primetime, which are both on the Revolution Radio Network. And his primetime is Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. And his Saturday, Inside the Eye Live, it runs right before your show, Scorpio. So he just did 3 hours himself, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. So, I mean, and then, if you really want to see the man's brilliance, look into his body of work, analyzing and studying, the Gematria and the Kabbalah and all that stuff. I mean, he has figured out these dark Satanists really well, and really gets down into what they do, and really pretty much when you understand their malevolent spells and all that, it really takes away all their power. So he's done a great service in that capacity as well.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, in our number three, we're going to have on Jimmy Jean, Jimmy Jean returns to the airwaves of Revolution Radio. And, you know, Jimmy is someone that really thinks outside the box big time.
Yep,
you never know
guy.
Where Jimmy's going to come from on stuff. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jimmy Jean has I'm looking forward to hearing what happened with the whole Clyde Lewis. You know, he's a huge guy, and he was building this big network. And I know Jimmy had recruited quite a lot of his professional allies to get shows on Aftermath, Lewis blew it all up. So curious to hear what's going on with that. It really wounded a lot of people, including Jimmy. So we'll very curious to hear that story.
Yeah, yeah. So, Giuseppe, you know, it's interesting, you know, how many people I know personally. I know, you know, within my circle of friends, I know maybe 5 people that died from this shot, like
yep.
within weeks of taking it.
Yep.
And then I know quite a few more people that have had, you know, people that I personally know had heart attacks, gotten cancer, I know this one lady that is having vertigo problems ever since she got the shot. I mean, all kinds of strange things are happening to people who thought they were doing the right thing. And God, you know, it's just amazing how quickly they drop the whole narrative. And I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, like, why did I get this shot? It's over already, at least for now. So I don't know. What are your like personal experiences with people that have had this, death jab?
I have, I as well know people who were murdered by it. I know people who have, been given essentially a death sentence because their cancer that was in, remission is now flared up and is raging. And so they're, you know, it's going to kill them. And, I know people who have had strokes. I know former patients who have had heart attacks. I know of flare ups. Really for no reason of, and developing autoimmune disease. So this is all from the Jew jab. There's just, it's so obvious. And that is so criminal that the living glory hole Biden and the disappeared, rat Fauci and all these other, traitorous, big pharma marionettes like, that buffoon, who just retired, Francis Collins, and that absolute shithead Deborah Birx, who retired. I mean, they all and the current Ferengi ahead of the CDC and all these idiots who they literally, you know, it's funny when you join a cult and you memorize all the scientism of the cult, you suddenly believe in your scientism and these clowns who we trust the data, we trust the science. No, you don't. You trust your cult. There is no science that backs this lunacy and goes all the way back to 1996 when I fought against and got very active trying to prevent Monsanto from having glyphosate approved because I knew they didn't understand the technology. I knew it was going to be a nightmare. And you know, they, Monsatan would claim, the Sephardic Jews that they are, huge into the slave trade back in the day, Monsanto. And they claimed, oh, we understand this and there'll never be any genetic drift. And, you know, it's because organic food can't keep up with the needs of the world and all this bunch of bullshit, lies, gaslighting. And guess what? Within 18 months that they were so sure they had this genetic understanding that would never drift, no genetic drift. Within 18 months, 27 plants, so-called weeds, all had adapted the gene and were Roundup resistant. You know, so it's just absurd. And
well,
go ahead.
Well, and Giuseppe, you know, you're terming it the Jew jab. You know, that's not just a, you know, a flippant remark. I mean, it really is the Jew jab, especially when you do a little research into, you know, who designed this, who's pushing it, who owns it, and who's been advocating it. I mean, you know, for people that are supposedly 2% of the population, they're certainly, let's say, overrepresented in all sides of this, this quack scene, as you like to call it.
Yep. I mean, I put up the graphic. Ferengi heroes and vaccination, the fraud Jonas Salk, you know, I mean, he literally murdered millions of people, gave them cancer in that toxic scam polio, because it's been proven now that the what was really going on was the massive spraying of DDT would destroy the health of these people and destroy the central nervous system and cause them to be paralyzed. It wasn't the polio bug or anything. It was, I mean, it's such a joke. And you go down the line, that fraud Ferengi Samuel Katz and the latest mass child murderer, the absolute dolt Paul Offit, just up the road in Philly. I mean, how is that guy still alive? If he would have murdered my little baby, Paul Offit would not be breathing anymore, that's for sure. And so it's just crazy. And now you look at the subhumans, that you look at those Ferengi, they don't even look human. With the Klingon names, like that one deviant Tal Sok sounds like Klingon language, right? And
yeah.
and that so it literally is a Jew jab, and they're this is right out of the protocols. This Friday we're doing part three with the great Maleficus Scott, with his grandfather J.K. Scott, Hidden Government, and we're doing part three of our deep dive and reading the book line by line. It's just so, and they used to call it the plan back then, you know, they didn't say the protocols, they'd say the plan. And so it makes you wonder, you know, with Q, which is a Mossad CIA psyop, trust the plan, right? So they are very clever in their mocking ways. So
Q was a very clever psyop. And of course, you know, they mixed in, you know, a little bit of truth, or actually quite a bit of truth, in with absolute bullshit.
Yep.
And stirred it all around real good. And of course, now the enemy war transmissions, known as the mainstream media, can just, that's like their go-to thing whenever someone talks about conspiracy theory. You know, you're a Q nut. And of course, Alan Dulles, is a longtime resident in Washington, D.C., was on Q Street.
Right.
So no coincidence there.
No coincidence there. Yeah, I mean, what a dirty dog, him and his brother, the other Dulles. They have the airport named after Dulles. I mean, it's just like the old saying, the victors get to rewrite history, and to make him out to be a hero is just laughable.
Yeah, yeah. So any word from Dennis?
None. I'm nothing on Skype other than I'm having computer problems rebooting, and then so I guess we'll just – see him pop up. I'm curious, do you see the StreamYard? Do you see me and you and the screen sharing, or do you just see the below the what do you see?
No, I see the screen, you, me, and the chat all at the same time.
Oh okay, so
it's overwhelming.
It is. He should be popping up soon, I hope, because I mean he just did his show. So, it, you know, but you never know. Maybe they want to. Blackbird just said, I'm seeing Fetch is active. Yep, that's how he communicated to me about computer problems. So I guess we'll see. Maybe he has multiple computers like I use. I have my main system, my recording system is how I run all this. And then I have a laptop right here. Oh, that way that I monitor other stuff. So maybe he has multiple computers going at once, and that's why we still see him on Skype. But anyway, so Dave, tell us about your, you're settling in now to Southern California, and what are your thoughts? You know, you've been there for, going on, how many months now? So tell us about your settling in.
Well, San Diego used to be a much more charming city than it is now, and I'm just not a big city guy.
Right, me too.
So, California's changed a lot, but it was just a difficult choice. It was time to come home for a variety of reasons, and I'm glad I did. But there's good things and bad things here. It's been quite a culture shock coming back, but. You know, I just, my intuitive voice said it was time to come home, and I have to listen to that. to that voice, when it, especially when it's that loud, you know.
Right, because the famous, there he is, he just popped up. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Dennis Fecho is now here, Scorpio.
Yeah, I'm so slow to get things going. Sorry, guys, we lost 15 minutes.
Hey, no problem, Dennis. Good to see you and to hear from you. And, you know, this is going to be a good conversation about world events. And, you know, you're over there in Saudi Arabia. Maybe you could start off and tell us, how is the media in Saudi Arabia covering the Ukraine theater? What's their
honestly, because it's all Arabic, I can't give you an answer. I'm sorry to say. So there's not a whole lot said about it, to be honest with you. And nobody's really talking about it locally. So
really?
We really, yeah, I mean, it's almost like nobody's talking about it locally. So I don't even have an answer for you, because there's really virtually no talk about it. Now I have to qualify that by saying that this starting tomorrow, there's a huge major defense exposition here called World Defense Show. And because of that, everybody I know is busy. Setting up trade booths and bringing stuff in and all that kind of fun stuff. So quite frankly, I can't say a whole lot, because we've been working on getting the World Defense Show Expo ready. So, you know, myself, I'm going to be going to that show. I'll be there visiting many people. We represent some major companies here. So, you know, for the most part, we're just kind of focusing on the trade show, because we're just that. You know, this is a major event for us, and we spent a fair amount of money to get some prime real estate. So, yeah, that's kind of what's happening for yours truly over here for the next week or so.
Well, do you get a feeling from just people you talk to in town? Like, what's the, you know, how are people in Saudi Arabia reacting to this, or are they sort of just more neutral?
No, they're not. They're not. What they really think initially was that Russia's going to invade and America's going to immediately come to their aid. And I said, no, it ain't happening. So forget about it. It's not going to happen. So there's not a whole lot being said about it. I think over here, Ukraine is not really an issue as far as geopolitics goes. I do know from their food program here, we have very good relations with the Strategic Food Reserves people inside the government, and they have major investments inside of Ukraine, and that is to secure supplies of wheat and related products, you know, farm products, but mainly wheat. So there is some concern, obviously, about what's going to be happening to their supplies there. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of geostrategic value here. For the most part, the Saudis have agreed to work with the Russians on the OPEC plus one, which set certain targets for everybody to operate. And Saudi has said, essentially, based on news reports, that they are not going to change off of that agreement. So essentially telling the United States, go pound salt. We're not going to be, or go pound dirt. We're not going to be increasing oil production anytime soon. So here, obviously, the government's very happy, you know, with oil up at $110 a barrel. There were lean times for quite some time here. And so with the prices being what they are now, yeah, they're kind of happy, I'm sure. Not for the carnage. I don't think they like that per se, but just business is business. And if you're making a lot of money, obviously it's hard to say things are bad, you know?
Well, yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, you're well versed in the ways of the intergalactic Ferengi, the international elf, and the international Jew. It's interesting how this Zelensky character, you know, apparently he holds three passports, you know, one, of course.
Yeah, I'm suspicious of those people because, again, I come from the espionage world. At least I came to the Middle East from the espionage world. I was not part of it, but I was like an advisor to somebody that was. And this guy I know had three passports, two American passports, one I forget the other one. He had a diplomatic passport from Solomon Islands, and I forget the other passport he had. But these types of people that have these multiple passports, they are not quite as they seem or appear to be. Oftentimes they are using and traveling, at least as they're setting up their operations. They're traveling under different passports, so you never know what is happening. I've known multiple people in the region that travel on diplomatic passports, but they're actually bought and paid for through various black or gray channels. So I've even helped people get into countries, you know, on a gray passport, you know, and that's working through the ministries of foreign affairs and things of that nature. So I, it does make me leery about them only because I've met people and worked with people that have these types of situations. And, you know, so it's just something to be leery of. And oftentimes they're not all that clean. And that's partially why they have the multiple passports.
Yeah. And it was interesting how Zelensky called for Jews from around the world to come and fight for Ukraine. And I'm curious what your take is on, you know, Israel 2.0 and ancient Khazaria and that sort of slant on the event.
Well, obviously, the more that can go and get ground up into mincemeat, the better for the world. so, you know, just go, you know, find yourself in a cauldron and get blown up. That's a great thing, probably for Putin, probably for all of us, even Trump and everybody else. You know, I think everybody knows where the problems are and if they want to come, but they're not going to come, obviously. In fact, I don't think Ukraine's going to last much longer. But the fallout for Russia is going to be quite some time. So that's really where the business is going to be. What's going to happen economically? Is this part of some greater reset? What really is going on inside of the geo-monetary system? That's really what is of interest and should be of interest to people, because ultimately that's what this is going to come down to.
Exactly. It's easy to get caught up in the theater. Let's hand it over to Giuseppe. I know he's itching to talk to you. Giuseppe, go ahead, sir.
Dennis, it's wonderful to have you on the show. As you well know, I'm a major admirer and fan.
I'm shy now, man. I'm shy, though, now, dude. You guys bring on Peter McCullough, and then it's like, damn. How'd you get this? How'd you land that guest? I'm like, good job, man.
Yep. Well, that was the legendary Jim Fetzer. He was on a virtual panel with McCullough in L.A. about something or other, and they hit it off, and he said, hey, come on my show. And McCullough said, sure. So got to admit that it was Jim Fetzer who pulled that one off.
Okay. Well, you know, still good job, guys. You were participating.
Oh, yeah, it was. And he liked it. He's coming back, so that's pretty cool too. And so my question, Dennis, is, you know, you've done so many amazing, insightful shows the last 11 years plus. What's your take on Putin? Sometimes he seems like he's championing the white minority on this planet, and then other times it's hard to figure out where his loyalties lie. So what's your take on Vladimir Putin?
Well, he's not a white nationalist for sure. You know, by any stretch of the imagination, he is a president of a country that spans, I don't know what, 5-7 time zones, something like that, a massive landmass. He's got people from all over the world, from Muslims in the central part to the Asiatics and the Far East. And, of course, he has the white Russians in Moscow proper and towards the West. So he's not really a white nationalist by any stretch. He can't be. His country is a diverse nation. And so the truth of the matter is, though, is that Moscow has always been a white Russian power base, and that probably is not going to change anytime soon. However, he can't go out there and try to push certainly white nationalism in a country that is diverse by the nature of the country. I mean, if he makes it sound like the white people are going to be ruling over all the other races here, it's not a great political message to be sending from any leadership, especially when it's naturally diverse. This is not like our countries, where it's unnaturally diverse, where they're imposing this upon our nations. Russia's very naturally diverse. So, okay, he can't come off as being white nationalist type of thing. So to me, but at the same time, he does champion Western values in his statement. So that's all a great thing. He has been very clear about what he thinks about the satanic leftist or neoliberal systems of the West. He believes that obviously we are destroying ourselves, meaning the Western civilization is destroying ourselves. And I'm sure at some level there's a little bit of remiss about that, that he's not happy about it. It's kind of a sad affair to watch Europe taken over and then be imploded from an enemy from without. And that then turns you into the neoliberalism. You got the great, who knows, what do you call that? The LGBT crowd, of
right,
course, they are all
right.
This thing. And he's very clear about that. He's been clear from day one that he is anti, LGBT, anti this targeting of children. He has made clear statements about saying, I do know of your plans and I'm going to put an end to it. And so these are all things that, you know, we listen to it and it sounds great. And then as soon as he goes into Ukraine to do something, he's just a shill and he's covering for the kabod and it's kabod versus kabod. And then so you just can't win for losing type of thing. And that's where we're at today. Let's wait. Let's see Russia do what they do. You've heard the news. You know, the hopium crowd, as I call them, they're selling this as a great move by Trump and Putin and Taiwan's next, these types of things. But I've been saying all along, we have to take out the biolabs. This is very critical. We cannot let the biolabs continue to exist. So if Trump is not Trump, if Putin has gone in and there were operational biolabs and appears there were, and he has taken those out, we cannot see that as anything but a net positive for the people of the world. The guys that are behind this COVID madness are not good people. And they don't care what happens to you, me, or anybody else. It's all about themselves and what they can do to take over this planet and rule it for themselves for their own benefit. And if people haven't figured that out yet, then time to wake up, guys, because that's what's on. And so any type of action, military or otherwise, that puts a wrench into the actions of these people, I'm all for it. With all due respect, and I said Thursday, I slept through Thursday's show, you know. I woke up like at 3 o'clock. And 3 in the morning, I said, oops, I called Blackbird. And he said, no, dead air. So I hopped on for the final half hour. And really... as it says here, you know,
there you go.
Russia owed a, yeah. Yeah. Is Russia owed a debt of gratitude?
Right.
Because oftentimes, as you guys know, American soldiers have been sent off to do battle. And it's almost as if the Americans are out there to save the world, you know, save the world from tyranny. And this may actually, it could quite possibly be that's exactly what the Russians are doing today. Because, as he said, we are not involved in a war. We are ending a war. The regime in Ukraine has been bombing Donetsk and Lugansk for the past 8 years. I don't know what, again, it's I think it's 14,000 plus have died in these bombardments, including many, 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 many children. So this is a case where maybe the Russian soldiers are actually doing something that is for the benefit of mankind at this stage. And again, let's wait. Let's see it bear out. But always hope for the best and plan for the worst type of thing. And right now, let's see. Obviously, with the way the world's reacting, from the Soroses to the Clintons to the Schiffs to the Pelosis to the Marina Abramoviches and everybody else in between on that side, it looks really good to us because they're all going against Putin. Why? The media, the sanctions are actually insane. You know what I mean? The financial sanctions, cutting people from SWIFT, the airline issues, you know, being able to not travel anymore. These are all insane. And then, of course, on the other side of it, you still have, same as Trump, you know, Putin has been very pro-vaccine. These are all very worrying signs. So why are you pro-vaccine, in other words? But we don't know what's going on inside Russia compared to what Pfizer and J&J released inside of our country. So those are other issues, though.
Oh, great summary.
Yeah, I think it's very, you know, wise to sort of let's take a wait-and-see attitude. That's kind of where I am, too, because there's so many unanswered questions. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle we're simply not allowed to know. But you can make a case that Putin is, you know, doing some good things here. Most noticeably, you know, that NATO has been, you know, poking the bear for a very long time and lying to Russia and essentially being very aggressive. And the Russians have been very restrained over the last 15 years. It's, you know, that's for sure.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, is what Russia's done is they built up a $693 billion slush fund, essentially. So they have a $693 billion benefit. You know, they have a surplus, not like America, that's 20-some-odd trillion dollars in debt. Russia's about $700 billion in the black right now, which is huge. You know, that's a huge number. And interesting is that's about the same number that the Saudis were at when they decided to help the United States after the Houthis kicked the U.S. out of Yemen. So, okay, fine. They have a huge slush fund. They have huge gold reserves. They have massive amounts, as you know, of the commodities, the raw materials, everything from nickel to gold. In fact, yes, some gold. They have obviously the wheat, you know, agricultural products. And then they have, of course, oil and gas, which is massive. So they're probably doing their calculus and saying, hey, look, with all the sanctions, all they're going to do is cause a tightening of the global market, which means we're going to supply and demand. We're going to sell less of what we have for even more money, and that's better for us. And so they may just be saying to themselves, you know, we can afford this at this stage. The world shut down anyway, so who cares? You know, fine, just shut it down. We're going to put an end to this, and that hopefully is the plan. In the meantime, we have to, as citizens of the West, regain control of our government. These are key issues. We don't have control of our governments right now. We are under a color revolution still. Let's be honest. Biden and Kamala Harris are theoretically controlling the White House. And I suspect there's even deeper stuff going on that's not been out to the public. I'm kind of a hopium guy on this case. But we don't have control of our government. So, okay, if you don't have control of your government, then what are you going to do? You're going to have to just grin and bear it because you're not in power. So people need to focus on gaining power, at least regaining power, and then let's see what happens from there.
Yeah, good point. Giuseppe, go ahead, sir.
Dennis, I know you've just done a phenomenal, you know, for decades investigation into gematria, into the Kabbalah. And do you have any insights into why this is all happening right now, especially when it comes to, you know, Russia had been tolerating the Ukraine cesspool since realistically since 2014. And why are they acting now? Do you have any insights from a more esoteric perspective?
Not so much esoteric. I think just geopolitically, strategically, this is a good time to move. You have a very weak United States. It's not weak. It's very weak. You may have a military in revolt against the current leadership in Washington. In other words, our U.S. military may actually not be under the full control of Biden. You know, you heard Nancy Pelosi say the other day, unfortunately for us, you know, I mean, not us. I think you guys heard that statement. Well, maybe not us, but we can't use military force right now. Yeah, because you don't have a military, lady. That's a very real possibility. So I think it's more just pragmatic geopolitics right now. You have a very weak United States. You have very high commodity prices, and that, of course, helps the treasury of Russia. They probably factored in that you can't cut off Russian supplies. It's impossible. They're the largest supplier of fuel right now in the world. So, okay, if that's the case, what are you going to do, right? You're going to have to buy my stuff whether you like it or not. So, okay, they kept the sanctions open. You're not going to sanction their oil and gas sector. Okay, fine. So I think it's really came down to just pragmatic geopolitics. Obviously in an eschatological sense, you know, obviously there's something spiritually going on. I think personally, we are in a huge battle against something that is very, very sinister, very, very evil. And that has to be put to rest. Otherwise humanity is going to go one of two ways. It can grow in its own natural state, or it's going to become modified and it will no longer be human.
Right.
In which case we're talking about essentially a bunch of punks sitting in a lab somewhere in Pfizer deciding where humanity is going to be in the next 50 years. And screw that.
Right.
I'm all for taking my drones and taking out these scientists. Who are you to tell the human race and God's natural creation what it should be in the next 50 years? Who made you God type of thing? Okay, then let's bring the wrath of God on these people and really show them what we mean, that we are serious. They don't care how many people die to make their experiment work. They've already shown that.
Yep.
In fact, they're willing to sacrifice everybody down to 2 years old if they have to make their experiment work. And they don't care how many of these kids are being hurt or died or whatever. They don't care. So my point now is that this, whatever it is, when you start going down to 2 year olds, All right. You're basically saying that you do not want any humans left because there will be no ability for humanity to repopulate because you're taking them out. They're all vaccinated. It's like, you know, you're going to literally vaccinate everybody. That means everybody's modified. And if you take out all the children along with the teenagers, tell me, when is the generation going to be there that's not modified? So they've literally decided for themselves. Literally, they decided for themselves to take out humanity. Who the frick are they to make that decision for us? And they act as if it's like no big deal. We have the right to do it because, hey, oy vey. You know, because oy vey. And that's all you need to know. It's just oy vey. That's all you needed to know.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, no, this has to end. And the bio lab's taking them out. But I'm, you know, I say it. You hear me say it. People think I'm brave to say it, especially where I'm at. But I'm saying, hey, look, the bio labs have to go. But so do the scientists. The scientists have to go. Because if you can't use your talent to raise people up and do something to help humanity, then we don't need you. Because we sure as hell don't need you committing genocide on us. And that's what they're doing. They're using their talent to commit genocide. And they're getting paid handsomely for it. So, okay, fine. If you want to take money, silver, 30 ounces of silver to go kill everybody, then everybody has a right to return the same to you, the law of return at this stage, because you are in a war. And that means you're going to have to gain control of your governments so that when your actions come about, you're lawful. Because right now, you can't even say certain things and you're already deemed a thought criminal. That has to end. You know, if you're not allowed to talk, as I spoke today in the show today, it's like the Soviet Union, and it was a Jewish product, by the way, in the 1950s. We used to tell ourselves the reason why it failed is because the government could never take criticism. Everybody lied to the government. Oh, the crops are doing great. Oh, this is doing great. Oh, this is doing great, because they knew the leadership could not handle criticism and failures. They were just so isolated from reality that eventually everything collapsed anyways. And that's what's happening to us today. Our leadership, whether we like it or not, is so insulated from reality. They actually don't have a clue what's going on. I'm sure they believe their nonsense, and they have no clue when you really break it down. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure they really don't know, because they're so insulated. Nobody wants to tell them that the emperor doesn't have any clothes on.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
That's not our system.
Yeah, you know, our leadership, it definitely is divorced from reality. That's a very, very good point. And I thought you made a good point about the transhumanism thing, and this really, it's the ultimate act of, you know, satanic act, is destroying or trying to alter the human genetic makeup. I mean, this is true satanic thinking. And if you don't have science and society operating from some kind of a respect for the creator and the creation, you're heading down the wrong road. And that's exactly where we are. And, you know, another indication that I found, you'll find this interesting, Dennis, as a numbers guy, you know, the mainstream media was saying that a few days ago that 660,000 refugees had fled Ukraine in the last 6 days. I thought that was an interesting choice of numbers there.
So what
are your thoughts about the, you know, the refugee crisis aspect of this, and how in some ways that sort of fits into what the globalists want? They want refugee crisis, as you know. So what's your take on that? Especially that they're all women and children.
They do. I think I heard you earlier. I was taking dinner when, you know, guys, the first part of the show, and that does, it opens up the human trafficking. It opens up the sex trafficking. It opens up a ton of, avenues for the predators to operate, because once you're isolated from your family, away from your home, away from your environment, you go into certain areas. If you don't even hear the language, it's always said to those of us in Scorpio, you know, you've been in a foreign country. So if you can't hear, you're blind. Okay, if you can't hear, you're blind. And of course, that happens to immigrants, or let's say migrants, all the time. They go into a foreign country, they're blind. They don't know when they're getting set up because they can't hear, and hence they're blind. So that's a unique opportunity, because obviously you can plan right in front of their face. Hey, let's take this one out tomorrow. Let's do this to her today. Wait till she gets to the car, and it's right in front of her face, and she doesn't even know what's being said to her. You know what I mean? And because she's blind. And so all these avenues open up once you get people removed from their environment into a foreign environment. Not only do they have to deal with the shock of the new environment, but then they don't have money, they don't have capital, they don't have relations, they don't have basically anything to support themselves. And guess what that means? They're kind of screwed. And that's something right. to keep in mind.
Very good point. Yeah, good analysis. Giuseppe, go ahead, man.
Dennis, what are your thoughts on the whole idea you mentioned that why are we putting up? I wouldn't even call them scientists. I would call them more like mad scientists and dabblers in genocide and dark arts that, you know, countries banded together and made bioweapons illegal. And one of our friend of shows, I'm just not getting names today. It's pointed out that they laugh about it, and he's got videos from Freedom of Information Act that these scientists laugh about how they're creating these bugs, but they are bioweapons, but it's called gain of function research to prevent bioweapons. I mean the nonsense. And so what we really have now is scientism. It's a religious cult, the cult of the magic jab, the cult of the magic pill, the white coats and the scrubs are their religious garb. And you've got people here on the East Coast, which, you know, the major cities are libtard central, and here in the DC area, Northern Virginia, Stalingrad 2.0, I have friends up in Boston that they now dropped all the mask requirements, and yet you've got these people still wearing masks when the weather's nice, when you need to breathe fresh air. So what do you make of this scientism and literally controlling people not better living through chemistry?
Well, I think if you go into the deep, deep side of it, now you can get into the occult, and there we're talking about mind war. Literally, this is mind war affected against the people, so that takes you back to the Temple of Set. They are using technology, frequencies, patterns of delivery, you know, all the things that they have learned since the 1950s, late 50s, when they started research on mind control techniques. They right. really used it. They used it effectively after the Iraq War. You know, I remember General Vallely, retired at the time, talking about how, gee, the media is using mind war. And he was actually talking to an Israeli audience. And I can never refine that interview. I wish I could. But he was talking to like Channel 2 or something in Israel, and he was saying how it's not policy in America, but it's like they're using mind war. And I'm like, dude, they're using mind war. Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? They're using it. All right. So they, of course, had a lot of practice in the 2000s and up into 2008s. And I think they're just that professional at it. They really are that good. And unfortunately, when you add the chemicals, perhaps, because we don't know, but you add in the chemtrails and the fluorides and who knows what else, and you combine all this soup together, we really do have a stupid population.
Right? Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of dumb people that are so easy to goad into believing whatever they feel they need to believe. And that's a huge problem, obviously, for those of us who are awake. Fortunately, you know, those numbers are getting smaller and smaller, and unfortunately, some of those aren't going to be living past another 2-3 years either. So I think that's really the main thing is just they're using mind war. They know what they're doing. They're professional at this. They've used this technique to take over countries for the last 20 years, and they turned their entire assets against the United States and what they knew was going to be a Trump victory. And I suspect that they couldn't handle another 4 years. Trump would have wiped them out in 4 years. So they had no choice but to do this and try to extend it for another 4 years. And I suspect that although they may have bought some time, time is still clicking away for these guys because the awareness, you look around the world, Melbourne, France, you know, Paris, Vienna, you name it, tons of cities, hundreds of cities for sure in Germany. People are tired of the nonsense at this stage. They're not violent yet. They're not violent. Maybe it has to go there, but they're not yet. I don't know if you saw the run-in of the governor of Nevada going into like a bar, like a diner, and he got confronted by a citizen. Hey, man, you globalist piece of shit. And he
went, no, I didn't know.
Literally, that. Yeah, he called him straight up. Hey, you globalist piece of shit, you treasonous SOB. You know, you're lucky we're law-abiding citizens because we should string you up right now. And wow. Literally, they were talking to that to the governor. To the governor, and he finally had to retreat. I think that was his wife and his daughter were chasing after him, and he basically hightailed it out of there. And those are things that has to happen, not just to the governors, but to the health boards, those who are sitting inside these health departments that have really conspired to make this whole pandemic nonsense that serious when it wasn't serious. You know, they made it this serious. Okay, look, you're trying to kill us, guys. You tried to kill us. So, okay. Now let's show you how it's really done, because you did get some of us. And they did. They got a lot of us.
Right.
Not the majority of us, but they still got a lot of us. I mean, even as 3%, that's a lot. Okay, so fine. Okay. Now people need to understand. That health official right there, he tried to kill you. In fact, he killed some of your people. And does he deserve the right to live here? You know, does he deserve it? And then you get back to how do you control your government so that you can just make this legal? Just make it legal and take them out, because that's what they did. They just gained control of the government and they just made it legal to take you out. And people understand it's really that simple. Take over the government and just take them out. Let the courts know at this stage is you don't have any standing, because you were there to protect us. And where were you? You didn't protect us at all. You basically bought into it. And we have to have a multi-pronged attack, guys. I'm talking about from the elite level on down. So you're talking about special operations. I'm talking about military. I'm talking about white hat people in the intelligence services. You know, they're out there. I guarantee you. I'm about people in the anti-corruption. And people have to not be shying away from strategic mishaps, because those have to happen. You know, as we're at war, I'm just saying we're at war, guys. Whether you like it or not, you're at war. So if you don't like the way it's being discussed, well, I'm sorry, but the other side doesn't care what you think. They're going to try to kill you anyways. So you better wake up to what's going on.
That's a good point, Dennis. We are at war, and the war was declared upon us.
That's correct.
No question about that.
We are not declaring war on them.
Yeah, group hugs and positive thinking aren't going to be enough to overcome what's confronting us right now.
You know, I'll tell you what, about that, I had someone in my chat room. Now, if you go back into time, what kind of broke my whole thing was something called the Bob Tuscan Tussle. And if you're not familiar with the Bob Tuscan Tussle, it was probably one of the most... It was probably one of the most. Yeah, it was, as you know, it was very influential in its day. It was like, wow, this really happened in alternative media? This was really done? It was a huge event at the time. It went viral. You know, I got tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of views back when that wasn't a big number, you know, or that was a big number. Now it's not so big, but back then, you know, the internet was still growing. It was still new. And you had a troll in my thing called Bob Tuscan today. He was in the chat room, and of course, taking the simple Jewish approach of, you know what, you know, Fetch, you just talk too much, you know, you're not doing any action, and we're doing all the action, and that's why we have the power, and you don't have power, because we're doing all the action. And I'm like, at this stage, you know, Bob, go ahead and keep doing, because as much as you do, it's like we're just handing you more rope, because we do see what's going on now. So here, have some rope. And people have to have that attitude and be ready to close on it. When the time is coming to tighten the noose, tighten it. Just tighten it, because don't be foolish. They're coming after you whether you like it or not. That's what Pfizer taught us. That's what Fauci taught us. That's what the NIH taught us, the CDC, FDA, the media. They tried to kill everybody. Bottom line, they tried to kill everybody with the vaccine. So, okay, what do you guys want to do? You want to go talk opium all day and hope that something happens? No. Unfortunately, we all have to be involved at this stage. So, obviously, I would like to retire from broadcasting and go off in the sunset, but it's just not in the cards yet.
Yeah, we're a long way from that. Giuseppe, go ahead, sir.
Phenomenal point, Dennis. I believe, too, there are people loyal to – you know, the divine and loyal to their countries and all that. And so what's it going to take to start to send some messages, right? So, for example, you know, you look back a few years when Anthony Bourdain and Chris Cannell were putting together a documentary about the child sex trafficking and everything, and they were all suicided and put in the auto-erotic asphyxiation pose, right? It was clearly they didn't do it. They were set up. It was a message. When is the warrior class going to start sending a similar message, and all of a sudden Klaus Schwab is taken off the board and Fauci's taken off the board, especially Gates taken off the board in the same type of ritualistic message? Is there any hope for that to happen?
No, because the two sides follow different rules of engagement, two different laws, so to speak. Now, that doesn't mean that, it's not going to happen ever. But as far as, really these big ostentatious signs of, look what we did to you.
Yeah.
No, I don't see that happening simply because of the different laws of morality that we follow. We still want to follow what is essentially the rule of law. So that means it doesn't mean we won't kill you, or execute you as the case may be. You could look at Senator John McCain, for instance. Everybody knows he was assassinated. I wouldn't say everybody knows, but the guy was assassinated. But there's different ways. I know I've been around the intelligence services a really long time, not by my choice. I just have. And they really do. They have a couple ways of doing things. If they want to take you down, they will let you preserve your legacy. They will actually do that as a point of honor. If you did a lot of great work for the country, but you did this mistake and it's unpardonable, they may go ahead and say, all right, look, in honor of what you did do for humanity, we will go ahead and preserve your legacy, but you ain't living.
Wow.
You're not going to live.
Wow.
And they'll do that. Seriously. I've known a guy who was corrupt as hell in Turkey or the Ukraine, and he was a pretty good high level guy. And they basically gave him his resignation papers and let him retire, and they didn't go after him, but easily they could have smashed him because the guy was corrupt as hell. But because he was a super high-ranking guy, not a small guy, super high-ranking, and he had done a lot of good work for one of these countries, I won't say which country, they said, okay, look, here's your papers. Get out. We're going to let you keep your pension, but you never, ever get involved in politics ever again. We better not see you around the political spectrum. If you are, then you've broken our covenant. So I've seen this. They will let you, again, survive. They'll preserve your legacy, and you'll hear this in the hopium crowd. And they'll say, well, if this is code, this means that they're going to be under arrest, but their legacy will be preserved. If they say this code, they're going to just be destroyed, and they're going to disappear from history and that type of stuff. And I do know that actually goes on from personal firsthand experience. So it's not just hopium to me, because I actually know that they do that type of thing.
Amazing.
That's very interesting. Well, Dennis, we're coming to the close of the hour already. This has just whipped by. Maybe you could dust off your crystal ball here a little bit and tell us, what do you think the end game of this conflict is? Do you think they're trying to create a larger boundaries for this war, or do you think this is just going to be contained within Ukraine and the actual fighting part of it will be over fairly soon, or do they want to have a larger scale conflict here?
I think it's going to be contained from a world point of view. First of all, the West has screwed themselves, meaning the deep state has screwed themselves. And how they did that is they let go of their vaccine. You know what I mean? And then they told everybody, if you're not vaccinated, get out. Okay. Well, and then you can't travel if you don't have your vaccines anymore. So they've actually neutralize themselves. They're that stupid. They actually, from a geopolitical point of view, neutralize themselves. It's like, yeah, you guys are smart. You're a brilliant idea. Kick out all your warriors and keep your flakes, and then you're going to take on those of us who are dead serious equally, within these various realms. So I don't see much happening. I think what Putin has said, look, it's very simple. I'm not going to waste my time in a protracted war with you. So you want to do anything, just man up. We're going to blow each other up, and that's simple. Otherwise, stay the hell out, because this isn't your fight. And I think that's where it's going to go. You've got the rumors about Taiwan. I know Trump was talking about Taiwan going down. The main thing, honestly, everybody, is the biolabs. They have to be taken out, and the scientists have to be rounded up. This is number one. And then, of course, the various health ministers, they should be very high on the list of arrests. This was a coordinated plan on a global scale. I think today, after some meditation and the other day, honestly, I think that WEF should be classified as a terrorist organization.
Absolutely.
100% declarative terrorist organization. And the people that are involved in it should be viewed as enemy combatants. Then you would take out maybe a Trudeau, a Freeland, as being essentially traitors. I mean, WEF is a terrorist organization. They're basically saying, we're going to wage war on all of you. You're going to have nothing, and you better be happy because you're going to be happy. Okay, no, dude. Okay, let's see it work. Freeze your assets tomorrow. You have access to none of your money, and then we're going to put you on national TV with a boot on your arm, your neck, and your foot. And then we say, are you happy? How's it feel, dude? Are you happy? You own nothing right now. Are you happy? Is it great? And they just humiliate the hell out of the guy. Say, are you happy? Is it great? You like this? And just go and just hammer them. And then send a message through that. You know, to me, this is warfare. You know what I mean? So for me, the WEF should be declared, seriously, just declare them a terrorist operation. They are clearly involved in initiating policies based on fraud that are resulting in the genocide and deaths of our people and the loss of so much income to our people while that wealth gets transferred to his buddies, which all happen to be largely Jewish oligarchs. Okay, fine. Let's be serious about this. You want to fight terrorism? WEF. Start with WEF, start with Davos. If you own an airplane and you're supporting them, no problem. You lost your plane today. Sorry about that. Go to court. Go to court. And if the court decides something, the court better have a very good case, because right now, you know, if you're afraid of them, you better be afraid of us too. And that's how this has to be fought.
Yeah, well, there's no question WEF is a terrorist organization. That's a good way of putting it. And the web that the talents of this organization go into is amazing. You know, you've got the whole Bill Gates and the Gavi thing as well, where vaccination was sort of the cornerstone of participation in civilization. And again, that's all coming apart at this stage, very rapidly.
Yeah, at this stage, we should hit hard everybody out there in the alternative media. You guys, me, everybody, and we are legion now. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of us. We should all be hitting the idea that vaccines are nothing but biological weapons businesses. And they're not there to help people.
Ladies and gentlemen, your lives are becoming more difficult as the life force of your world is draining away. Have you noticed that as everything around you seems to decline, one thing still grows? It is the power of your rulers. None of their plans and directives have solved your problems or made your life better. The only result has been their increased control over you at the cost of your freedom. Do you know why? You gave them the power. They called for your sacrifice, and you thought it was noble. They said if you worked for yourself and your family, that you were selfish and uncaring, and they made you feel ashamed. They denounced the leaders of industry as greedy exploiters. You agreed. All evil needs to win is the consent of good people. To everyone within the range of my voice, you now have a choice to make. If you decide to support the notion of sacrifice enforced by the state Your game is up. Your world is in a downward spiral, and you will ride it down to destruction. But if you share the values, if you believe that your life is a sacred possession for you to make the most of, if you want to live by the judgment of your own mind, not edicts from the state, then follow our lead. Do not support your own oppressors. Stop letting the system exploit you. Form your own communities on the frontiers of your crumbling world. Your rulers hold you by your endurance to carry the burdens they impose, by your generosity when you hear cries of despair, and above all, by your innocence which cannot grasp the depths of their evil. The world you are living in is the world they wanted. Leave them to it. Those who are eager to build a better world, a world of freedom and opportunity, a world based on mutual respect, in that world you will not receive alms, nor pity, nor forgiveness of sins, but honor, respect, and justice. Don't let the fire go out spark by irreplaceable spark in confusion and despair. The world you desire can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It is yours.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. It's your world. Take it. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Revolution. Radio! Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, welcome back to the third and final hour of Operation Scorpio. Last hour, we had a great conversation with Mr. Dennis Fecho. It just flew by. And in this hour, we are going to embark on a conversation with Mr. Jimmy Jean, a man who always thinks outside the box, well outside the box. Jimmy, how are you, sir?
No, I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm hanging by a thread in FEMA Region 9. Gas is $6 a gallon. Bread is about $4 a loaf, and a gallon of milk costs about $6.
Jeez.
Well, and part of that is that it's all Vladimir Putin's fault.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's so much to get into. I don't know where you guys want to start. I have not been on the air for a bit. We've been doing a show on YouTube on Friday nights since Aftermath shut off. And so I haven't really gotten too much into what's been going on politically and across the world. So I'm looking forward to getting into some of that with you guys. I don't know what you guys – did you guys want to get into first?
Well, Jimmy, let's start off with your – tell us the inside scoop on, you know, what happened with your show at the network there, and give us a little story about that, please.
Well, hell yeah, there's a big, there's a lot to say. I mean, we could probably take up the whole hour just talking about that, and I don't want to do that, so I'm going to give you the quick and dirty version of it. There's going to be we're going to do a whole special on this particular thing that happened. And we're getting that ready because the guy that was over there. So here's what happened. There was Aftermath FM was there, and Clyde Lewis was there. And they had about, I don't know, I guess they had Clyde, and they had three or four other shows that they were playing, podcasts. And so I got to talking to Ron, who is Clyde's producer, and so they offered us a spot over there. So I went over there. And I thought Clyde was part of it, you know. I thought it was Clyde's network, you know what I mean? But, you know, and it wasn't, and it never was. And at first we didn't even know that. We just thought it was Clyde. We wanted to be associated with it, you know what I mean? So, we went over there, and then, I asked a lot of my colleagues, to come over. In other words, I asked Kev Baker. He came over. Billy Ray Valentine came over. What's his face? I can't think of his name now. Anyway, Leo Zagami came over. Steve Poikinen from Slow Newsday came over there. And then there was a bunch of other people that I didn't know. I mean, Billy brought some people over. Tony Atterburn was there. David Knight was there. All these heavy hitters were there. We all brought our little audiences to the table. Clyde already had plateaued at that point, getting subscribers, you know, to the station. So with the advent of all these new exciting broadcasters coming on board, it started to get a lot of attention, you know. And so, like I say, we brought our audiences over there, and it helped increase the subscription rates of the Aftermath operation. The problem is that we never got track of anybody who subscribed for us. So if you came over there, you said, man, I really want to support Jimmy, you know, and pay $5 a month, I'm going to go over there and sign up. Well, you could have went over there and sign up, but Jimmy never saw $5 because he never kept track of who got signed up for what. When you went and signed up over there, all the money went into the main thing, which is Clyde Lewis's operation, right? We didn't get any of that. We never got one penny of that subscription money, nor did we get any tracking of how many people subscribe. Now, man, I'm going to tell you right now, just because I was in the chat room and I would see people that I know in that chat room that were never in that chat room before, and I know that they subscribe, but I never got a notice. I never got shit. Anyway, we weren't over there about the money, okay? That's part of what the problem is the money part of it. So, bottom line, everything was going good. We started over there. We were number 40 late night. And at the end, when they shut it off, we were number 4 every single night in our time slot. We were up there with George Norrie. I forget who else. The UnX, Fox News, and somebody else. Anyhow, point is, everything was growing. Everything was getting good. Well, all of a sudden, this dude, come to find out, Clyde doesn't own this thing, and there's one guy who owns it, Rob Davenport. Okay? So he just decides one day that he's just going to get rid of the network. He's going to get rid of it. He's going to cut it off. Right before it happened, what he did was he came to the broadcasters, and he said, look, going forward, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be this, and that's how it is. And if you don't like it, you can just leave. Basically, he was saying, you can be here, Jimmy, but there's not going to be any way for you to generate revenue here. Okay? So at that point, we had to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to stay here, or are we going to go? So Billy Ray, he said, fuck this, man, I'm out of here. So he went on the air on that Thursday night, and he said, hey, man, I'm blah, blah, I'm leaving, this and that and the other thing. And I stayed quiet. Like, I didn't say nothing because I was planning on staying there. because we were going to start another network, and I was going to stay there until the new network started, and then I was going to jump. So I wasn't going to leave. I was going to stay there and do and make no money. I was making money off my advertisers. Okay, so I was making money. It had nothing to do with them. I went out and got my own advertisers. I was making my own money. So I was cool to broadcast with getting nothing from them. I was getting nothing from them anyway. You know what I mean? So we did our Friday night show. I mean, we got no notice. Friday night show, we did it. The next day, we got an email from him saying he was cutting it off. It's over. That's it. No notice. Not look, I'm not the only one over there. You know, there's David Knights over there. No notice. You know, everybody else. No notice. Same thing. The guy who's going live on Saturday night. He just all of a sudden he can't go live. Or you're the last live show. So his excuse was he wasn't making enough money. So he cut off the radio shows. He wasn't making enough money. He cut off the radio shows. Dude, you're not making enough money. 10,000 subscribers. Okay? 10,000. All right? $5 minimum buy-in on that. $10 if you want everything. $5 if you just want to go for the one person that you like and their podcast, which no one ever got any credit for. So that was the reason. Not enough money. He's not making enough money. So there it is. It's over. So then we say, okay, well, now that it's over, give us our RSS feeds. Give us our RSS feeds that we built up algorithms on and that he's making money off of our podcast, off of our intellectual property on his platform. It's branded with Aftermath FM and all this, and it's like he gives that stuff over to these to like iHeart, and then iHeart implants advertising, and so every time someone goes over there and downloads something, he gets money. So we said, okay, well, you cut us off, okay, you cut us off, give us our property, let us make our money off those downloads. He said, F you. I'm going to keep making money off your intellectual property until I make my money back. So that's pretty much where we are on that, man. So subsequently, there is a network in progress. I pretty much got the whole thing set up right now. I mean, I could do a network right now, but I mean, I got to be honest with you guys, man. I've been doing this shit for a long time, man. I've been doing this stuff and this, I've been involved in the alternative media for a long time. And it, you know, it's getting to a point where, you know, I mean, just the other day, I did a show last week on YouTube, last Friday. I don't even remember talking about the election, but all of a sudden I get a fucking, there was no, contract, Robin. So I all of a sudden get a strike because, they said it was misinformation about the network, about elections. So, I mean, my only way to broadcast was to go out over YouTube on my channel. And of course I knew it was only a matter of time before that fucker was going to get struck. Excuse my language, before he's going to get struck out, because I'm almost at 1,000 subscribers, which is, you know, when people can start donating to the station or whatever. So, I was able to sneak somehow on my other channel. I'm still struck out on my other channel, but I found a way around it. And I'm broadcasting right now on it. But other than that, I won't be able to broadcast at all. And I find it really interesting. And just in one fell swoop, all these people got taken off the air. All those voices. And they weren't pity-bass voices, man. You know what I'm saying? The shows that we were putting out on there, I don't know if you guys can even – I'm not saying this. I just want to put this in perspective. What it was like for me to have to come on every single night after Clyde Lewis, who was the number one broadcaster you know, paranormal app or whatever. He's the number one dude. So we had to come on every single night and produce, man. You know, and I'm going to say right now, we produced. Okay. We were doing shows on there, Giuseppe and Scorpio. We were doing shows on there. We were having McCarran on there. Dude, I was talking about, we were talking about this whole, we did this whole thing on AIDS and all this thing right before all this stuff happened. So, you know, it's really, it sucks, man, you know, to be in that position. So out of all the networks, I say out of all the networks that I've been on and out of all the stuff I've been through in the alternative media, I can say that Revolution Radio is probably the one with the most integrity, the most, and really does believe in freedom and giving people the ability to speak. You know, so, I mean, I really appreciated my time here at Revolution Radio, and I'm happy to be here today, coming back and let you guys know what happened. So, we have a plan. So, once I get everything together, we're going to do a whole 2-hour show, on this dude and what happened. You know, we'll give him our testimony, you know.
Well, Jimmy, your show is really excellent. And, you know, we were both, Giuseppe and I were honored to be part of it more than a couple of times. And you did run a tight ship and you always had sort of interesting takes on things and you never knew where it was going to go. And that always made it more interesting. And isn't it interesting how the whole concept of violating community standards keeps morphing? And what it's really morphing into is any narrative that contradicts the official government, you know, narrative is violating community standards. That's really what it's starting to come down to.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that came across my mind when I saw that was, it said misinformation, and I'm sitting there going, well, and the last video that got me struck out was a video I did with Sean David Morton. So I did a video, I did a show with Sean David Morton, had a conversation. He talked about his own personal experience that he had, and they struck me for medical misinformation because he used some other alternative method in his cure. He wasn't, we weren't doing anything. We weren't putting it out there. This guy was just telling his story. You can't tell a personal story and then have, it's a fact check and call it misinformation. Who's misinformation? I mean,
it's all in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, Giuseppe and I burned through 4 YouTube channels for medical misinformation, but that was pretty much Giuseppe's fault for spreading the medical misinformation. I know.
Well, listen.
Hey, why don't you jump in here, man? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jimmy. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just trying to say, listen, I tried to lift, when I got that opportunity over there, I tried to lift as many of my friends up as I could. Okay, I got people, shows, I had people on my show to try to get them popularized on a whole different audience. You know, I did my best for everybody in that respect, you know, and I really appreciated everything that you guys did on the show and the input and all the, like, Giuseppe, I mean, when we did the tabletop exercise thing, I mean, man, it was just, you know, I really appreciate you guys, man, a lot. And you guys do great work, too. And, you know, I'm not sitting here stroking myself about how good everything was. You know, I'm just, you know, it meant a lot to me. I put a lot into it. And,
too. And you were always very generous with the platform and trying to reach out to others. That's something I really respected about what you're doing. Giuseppe, why don't you go ahead and jump in, man?
Well, Jimmy, it's great to talk to you again. I was stunned to get the news because you had put your heart and soul into it. And, you know, you are a pro's pro and you managed to dodge the technocratic transnational censorship that is unprecedented, that these globalists are trying to shut down truth in any capacity. They call it misinformation. That's like hate speech or anti-Semite or homophobe. It's just an ad hominem for these petty tyrants being able to prevent the truth from getting out. And so, and you had a phenomenal ascent. So what's it like, man? You know, you put your heart and soul into it, and then it turns out this Davenport clown is a backstabber, and really, he, you know, we've talked offline about what it would take to have a big network, and if he's making somewhere between 25,000 and 50,000 a month, it doesn't cost but a fraction of that to get the bandwidth to put it out. So he, you know, that's an out and out lie saying he went couldn't. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, it's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
It infuriates me because the thing about it is he could have thrown people a bone.
Right.
You know, he could have said, look, I don't want to deal with this Aftermath FM anymore. You guys busted your ass here. Have Aftermath FM. I don't want it anymore. If it's not making you any money, why didn't you just give it over to the people who cared about it instead of being a punk?
Right.
He's lucky, man. He's lucky. He's lucky that I'm in California and he's where he is. Because you don't want to have a face-to-face conversation with me, Rob. I'll tell you that.
It's interesting how either you choose to live your life with integrity and do business with integrity, or you don't, and that's where the rubber meets the road in so many different ways.
He wasn't even man enough to come over and say, you know what, get on the phone with people and say, you know what, F you, I took your money, what are you going to do about it? Go get a lawyer, punk, shut your mouth. He's not even man enough to do that. He just hides over there all by himself. You know what? Clyde took a lot of heat. Clyde took a lot of heat because my show went off the air. Because we were on there after we kept a lot of Clyde's audience. So Clyde's people were pissed off, sending emails. This guy's over there hiding. Nobody knows who he is. But there's Clyde taking the heat because this guy's a punk.
Wow.
So anyway, you know, it's a personal thing, and you know, let's not get too sucked down into it because there's so much more to talk about what's actually going on, and
right,
you know, we're gonna try to get through this, you know, but at this point, you know, I'm currently in the midst of getting a job, so I've already got the job, but I had to pass a specific kind of test. And I tested yesterday, and I tested myself when I got home, and I was good, but I don't know what happened before that. So hopefully next week I'll be getting the thumbs up, and then I'll be back to go. I'm going back into doing some wireless shit.
Oh, cool. Right on. Well, Jimmy, while we have you here, this time's just flying by. Maybe you could sort of give us your take on this grand theater we're experiencing. You know, right on the heels of 2 years of Operation COVID hoax, you know, fear porn. Now we're in the, you know, this Ukrainian theater with, you know, the WWF super bad guy, Vlad the Impaler Putin. So maybe you could try to unwind that a little bit and see what's your take on what this is and where it's going.
Well, this moment right now, there's something, I don't know if you guys familiar with the book, The Fourth Turning? The Fourth Turning? Check that out, The Fourth Turning. So I would say, over the past 2 years, things have progressed in a certain way. Lots of things were introduced, lots of ideas were pushed forward. These lockdowns, these masks, all of this stuff, all of these things, not only was it unprecedented in the history of mankind, but it was an unprecedented moment for data scraping, to do psychological, gaming on, situations to see how people actually feel and react or how they will react. So never in the history of mankind has there been the ability for the people that create the reality that we see through these mediums to brainwash people at a level that is unprecedented, literally. And when I say brainwash, you know, I mean people do exactly what they expect them to do because we're not in your granddaddy's world war. We're in the future, man. Literally, I've talked to military people that use weaponry that could fucking, vaporize you wherever you are based on your GPS location. So, I mean, what we're seeing is these antique weaponries rolled out in these, you know, this is like a Hollywood production, just like Giuseppe, you were saying, Wag the Dog is exactly right. So right. It's Wag the Dog, but here's the thing. What's going to happen is going to happen. And then at the end of that, things will then swing back in the other direction. And so what I'm looking at from a perspective of behavior modification is that all of the things that were being put forward in this green initiatives where they want you off cars. If you can't afford gas, you're not going to drive. Okay, if you stop driving and you stop buying cars, the car industry is going to collapse. So the thing is, man, when gas costs $7-$8 a gallon, and it's the same for diesel, all of a sudden gas starts going up when the truckers are heading to DC, diesel starts costing twice as much. When diesel costs twice as much, when I told you at the beginning of the show my milk was $5 a gallon, it's going to be $10 a gallon now. Because they got to double their cost for the, you know, gasoline or for diesel. So the thing is that all of these things in the end, we're going to have, positive ID, digital identification, there'll be no banks. It's okay to wear a mask if you want to. That kind of ties right in with the, with Muslims and them wearing facial coverings, having that just be, you know, normal everywhere, no matter what. You see, the total, digital currency thing is going to happen. All of these things that happened over this period of time, in the end, when this all shakes out, we'll be sitting there with some kind of, you know, are you a terrorist? Well, let me make sure. You better go down into the post office and get your new ID code or whatever. You know what I mean? It's we're in a place where people's decisions don't matter, really. I mean, it's almost ridiculous at this point to look at it to have any real value. If I was president of the United States and Putin was going into Ukraine and there were, for some reason I had a problem with that, then I would just go over there and talk to the dude. You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm on the level of an intellectual capability to be president of the United States, then I should be the kind of guy, just like I am on the air, where I can come on here and talk with you about whatever it is. So couldn't we come to a decision? Why is there a NATO? Why? Because there used to be a NATO to protect everybody from the dirty communists, but there's no more communists. Russia's not a communist country. Why is NATO against Russia? Why does Russia call us the West? It makes no sense, man. It makes no sense at all, because it's all going to end in the same, it's got to end at the same place. It's all coming to the same place, and nobody's making decisions. They have something called mirror world, where they have an exact mirror of everybody. There's a Jimmy in there, and there's a Dave, and there's a Giuseppe in there. And they, based on our psychological profiles, and they have one for everybody, every single person on this earth. Okay. They put a little thing on one end, and they say, what happens if I do this? And everything associated with that happens in that world. The news goes out, you know, you pick up the story, Giuseppe, you could put everything you would do normally, you'll do in that scenario. And they just put any scenario in it in the beginning. So what I'm getting at, and by pointing it out and kind of trying to explain it like that, is what I'm getting at is there's nothing now that happens that's not pre-planned and pre-gamed through an AI system. So they know what's going to happen if they do this or if they do that. What do we have to do to make the people go right? Well, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to find this, da, 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 da. And every time the AI does it, it gets better at it. So, I mean,
right.
If you want me to predict the future right now, you know what I'm going to tell you right now? Here's the game changer. First of all, I don't know if everybody knows this, but the Israeli Prime Minister went over to Moscow earlier today, And then he left and told all Israelis to leave Russia.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. So it happened earlier today. So I'm anticipating Trump to come after the objectives are met, after Putin has met his objectives there, whatever they are, however it plays out, if it goes beyond where it is, wherever it is, there's going to be a crucial moment, and that's when the Trump character is going to step in and go over there and talk to him after he's all done doing what he's doing. He's going to get what he wants. He's going to let him get what he wants. Then they're going to go solve the problem. And then by then, it'll be too late because gas will be so high, no one will be able to go to work. Hey, man, if you're making $20 an hour and you live and you had to move far away to afford to live, you got to drive to work every day? Man, how are you going to afford to live, man? People are not going to be able to go to work. The fourth turning. If you guys haven't heard of this, man, I will. Can you? You want?
I have it up on the screen.
Can I play a clip? Can I play a clip? Because we're coming up on the break now.
No, there is no break, Jim.
No break? All right. Well, you guys jump in here and let me go grab this for you because you need to hear this. Everybody does. Let me get this because there's a dude who breaks off a bit of it here. And I was sending it around the other day. So I have to go into my Skype here and grab it. So, I mean, what are you guys thinking? Are you guys, I mean, the economy is definitely on the brink of, you know, disaster, right?
Absolutely. And that's what concerns me is that this great event, this Ukrainian theater is feeding the great work, the great agenda on multiple levels.
Right.
So, and then of course the timing of this is what I find the most odd, let's say suspicious, you know, given that it happens at the very moment that they pulled the plug on Operation COVID hoax or whatever you want to call it. They pull the plug on that and magically this appears. And from the point of view of the conspirators, this has to be bigger than COVID or else it wasn't worth it to change tax.
Well, they're prosecuting their, what happened in the UK is that some people went and filed murder charges about this vaccination or the injection. And that's what started the whole tumbling over in the UK of all the mandates and everything. So there's liability here. And so the problem is they're trying to get away from it as quickly as possible. And some of the information that's come out recently, and this, you know, the reports that have been released and some of these statistics, you know, there's problems and big problems. I mean, the dude from BlackRock said exactly what was going to happen. The ex-BlackRock guy, he said Moderna and Pfizer, both of them were going to go down to nothing. And Pfizer was going to be down to $10 a share or something like that. So, but I mean, I'm trying to get you guys I got talking there and I forgot what I was doing. Hang on a second. Yeah. So, I mean, what are we going to do now? I don't know, man. I mean, you're down in Southern California, Dave. What's it like down there? You're saying gas is what, $5 a gallon down there?
It's $5 a gallon. And, I saw in Hollywood, it was $6 a gallon. Parts of LA, it's, you know, well, close to $5.50. So yeah, it's climbed a lot higher than they've already said on television. not that I have one, but what they're claiming. So yeah, it's climbing fast. And really, this hasn't really started yet. I mean, they're just now talking about getting Russian oil off the market. And what's weird is they haven't done a government embargo, but they're saying that a lot of big oil companies are refusing to buy Russian crude because it has Ukrainian blood on it.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, listen, you know, the thing was is that energy secretary came out the other day and basically said, we're going to shock you out of the oil system. They got to get off oil. They've been trying to get off oil. There's no easy way off it. There's no slow way off it. The people that are into oil don't want to let go. There's only one way to do it, and that's like a severing. You know, it's like a crushing of the old system. You know, where, like I'm saying, it's not that you can't buy a car, but you won't want to because you can't afford it. A Ford F-150 is like $60,000, dude. You know what I'm saying? It's not only is it $60,000, but it's got a 25-gallon tank in it, and gas is $10 a gallon. So if you got a pair and you can step into that F-150, you're also going to have to be the type of guy that can throw in $250 every time he steps up to the pump. Man, if listen, gas in Russia is $1.90 a gallon. And they say, hey, you know, hey, everybody, maybe we'll release some of that tax on the gas that you're buying. You know, so out of that $7 of gas in California, probably about $4 of that shit is tax.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready for the fourth turning?
Do it, brother.
Absolutely. I'm going to just put a description of the book up, and this is fascinating. I'm going to get a copy of it for sure. So go ahead, Jimmy. This is great stuff.
Yeah, here we go.
If you can tell the future. Did you know that it was 30 years ago that two authors predicted the current crisis we're in? Everything from the Corona crisis through to the American riots. And in fact, we are only in the first of five stages of this crisis. I'm going to go through exactly who predicted this, what these five stages are, and how you can go about preparing for the future to ensure that you're ready for what's about to come. So it was actually in the turn of the 1990s that two authors, William Strauss and Neil Howe, came up with a book which is called Generations. And after that book, Generations, they came up with this book, which is called The Fourth Turning. The Fourth Turning, an American prophecy, what the cycles of history tell us about America's next rendezvous with destiny. So what Strauss and Howe basically figured out from their book, Generations, is that we all go through these big cycles of time. In fact, all of humanity goes through these 18, 90-year cycles, which are divided into four lifetimes. And in those four lifetimes, we effectively go through the same seasons of spring, leading to summer, leading to autumn, leading to winter. And when they wrote the book in the 1990s, we were in what they call the unraveling, which is the autumn season. And they saw, hey, there's a crisis coming, which was a winter season. And it was about time they warned the American public. Now, in the 1990s, when they actually wrote this book, not a lot of people were listening because it was the dot-com boom. Everyone was doing great. And so as a result, it was only a small group of people that actually started taking this seriously. And even for them, this was too far in the future because they were saying that the entire crisis would happen from 2005 to 2025. It was too far in the future for people to even worry too much about this. But now we're in the crisis, and so now it's time to worry. So what can we learn from the book, and what can we learn about the next steps we should take? Strauss and Howe looked at the fourth turning as the end of an entire cycle where everything changed. And so the last three turnings we had, well, 300 years ago, it was the American Revolution. The American Revolution was from around 1760s to 1790s, and then 100 years later, it was the American Civil War from about the 1814s to 1850s. And then just 100 years ago, we then had the Spanish flu, the Great Depression, and then from the Great Depression, World War II. Now, if you're thinking these are just authors that just came up with some crazy theory, in fact, they're the same authors that came up with the concept of millennials. In fact, in their book, Millennials Rising, this became a Bible for the marketers of today, where they were showing how every generation has also got an archetype, and every archetype has got a different role at every point in the turning. In their book, The Fourth Turning, this is exactly what they say about each of the five different stages, starting with stage one, the spark. A spark will ignite a new mood. The CDC announces the spread of a new communicable virus. Congress enacts mandatory quarantine measures. Mayors resist. Urban gangs battle suburban militias. Calls mount for the president to declare martial law. So this is actually from the book where they're going through the different scenarios of what's likely to happen, which actually triggers the crisis, which means what you've seen so far is just the beginning. It's not the crisis itself. After the first.
Let me stop it there. It's heavy, right?
Yeah.
This is that. Now, this may be the cornerstone right here. You guys, seriously, shall I continue? I wanted to stop it because I was, you know, there's a lot of, it's 10 minutes long. We're only 2 minutes into it. So he's about to get into the meat of it now. You guys want me to continue?
Yeah, this is great stuff, Jimmy.
Really great.
This is a really fascinating bit of material. Go ahead, sir.
Here we go.
Phase, which is what we're in right now, comes the second stage, which is disruption. This is what they say about what's about to come. The new mood and its jarring new problems will provide a natural endpoint for the unraveling era decline in civic confidence. As a crisis catalyzes, these fears will rush to the surface, jagged and exposed. Distrustful of some things, the individuals will feel that their survival requires them to distrust more things. This behavior could cascade into a sudden downward spiral and implosion of societal trust. So everything we're going through right now is not about virus. Everything we're going through right now is not about the riots in the streets. Everything we're going through is about a breakdown of the trust of the old system in order for a new system to be created, which has happened every single time that there's been a fourth turning. So what about the third stage, which we can expect to see maybe 6 months or even 12 months away from now? The third stage is collapse. At some point, America's short-term crisis psychology will catch up with the long-term post-unraveling fundamentals. This might result in a great devaluation, a severe drop in the market price of most financial and real assets.
Never before in recorded history has debt been so high. Unfortunately, the United States is the largest debtor nation in world history. I don't like saying any of this. I'm an American citizen, voter, taxpayer like you, but it's the highest debt that any nation in the history of the world has ever had. I knew for many years that America was building up its debt. I knew that our politicians were incompetent and out of control. But no, I never expected it to go this high before a collapse.
As assets devalue, trust will further disintegrate, which will cause assets to devalue further, and so on. Many Americans won't know where their savings are, who their employer is, what their pension is, or how their government works. Before long, America's old civic order will seem ruined beyond repair. People will feel like a magnet has passed over society's disk drive, blanking out the social contract, wiping out old deals, clearing the books of vast, unpayable promises to which people have once felt entitled. This was predicted 30 years ago by the two of them.
I got to – let me rerun that. Listen to this, man. This is heavy right here.
The social contract, wiping out old deals, clearing the books of vast, unpayable promises to which people have once felt entitled. This was predicted 30 years ago by the two of them in the book.
So this this distrust of everything, including, you know, a lot of what we talk about, we bring a different viewpoint to some things that people may or may not have faith in, and right, then all of a sudden they can't trust it. You know what I mean? All of a sudden it starts to cascade on itself to where everybody just, I mean, like these roving hammer gangs. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's just like all of a sudden there's roving hammer gangs, you know, there's all this shit going on. There's crazy, everything's crazy and starts to break down. And that's, we're there. I mean, I think, in a lot of respects, man, it's just like waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, and that's the thing is like now, over these past couple of days, now there's this, this fear that the shoe is actually going to drop, that there is actually going to be nuclear war. You know, have you ever looked in history around the world where and how many nuclear bombs have been exploded in testing? Yeah, I mean, there's already been a nuclear war. There's been 288 some odd nuclear explosions on the planet already. So
right,
we're all still here. I'm not saying, it's, you know, they were in places where, you know, wasn't buildings and stuff like that. But the point is that something like that could happen. There was no, I mean, it didn't happen all at once, obviously. So, I mean, who knows what happens in a nuclear winter situation. But I'm just saying, nuclear bombs aren't a lot what, you know, this, you know, there are ways to survive as long as you're not in the blast zone. But, I mean, I'm in the Silicon Valley, so if a bomb goes off, probably going to go off here. But maybe not. I mean, maybe they'll just – Chinese will just come in and – take the place over so they could just come into the corporations and steal everything. I don't know. Here you go.
And more importantly, what's key is what you do now to prepare, because while a lot of people will be losing their wealth, there'll be others that'll be gaining brand new systems, structures, and even businesses off this crisis as well.
Well, I mentioned it before. This shutdown is creating the greatest wealth heist, and now we've got some evidence of it. Here's an article from Mint Press News. America's super rich see their wealth rise by $282 billion in 3 weeks. A new report from the Institute for Policy Studies found that while tens of millions of Americans have lost their job, America's ultra-wealthy elite have seen their net worth surge by $282 billion in just 23 days.
So you guys want me to stop this? Because we only got about 15 minutes left. There's plenty to talk about, yeah. So what are you guys thinking? I mean, are you heading for the bunkers or what? Or, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously when you guys go outside your door, though, realistically, it's just crickets and maybe a few idiots walking around with their mask on. But other than that, there's really nothing going on, is there?
No, it doesn't seem that way. Giuseppe, why don't you jump in?
People here in Stalingrad 2.0, Northern Virginia, essentially the Wash District of Criminals Metroplex, everybody's going about their business. And, you know, when they did the scamdemic lockdown, it was amazing how traffic was decent, and now it's back to being a nightmare again. Mm-hmm. And everybody acts like, oh, wow, you know, I took the death jab, and I you know, everything's good. And what's amazing also, Jimmy, is how even though the because of the polling, the Democrats are going to get slaughtered in the midterm election, they're suddenly backing off the mask mandates just to try and temporarily maybe save a few seats and at the federal level. But all these you know, day walking zombies are still wearing their masks. It's insane. So they everybody thinks that, oh, thank God this is over. They have no idea that this is just the first act in this dark play.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, overall, I mean, when you look at the overall plan and you see, you know, the landscape, you can see that there was a certain demographic that was attacked.
Right.
With that particular injectable experiment.
Yep.
And the thing is, that demographic is the exact one that would be opposed to all of these new ways of being that people want to put forward. So what I'm saying is those are like the World War II generation people, leftovers, the people that, you know, love their country, love their flag, this and that, fight for freedom, this and that, all that. Those people, that demographic, not only, and it's a twofold benefit for the system because they get rid of the people that remember what it was like. Okay. And right. You benefit the double benefit, which is you don't have to pay out that pesky Social Security.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean? Hey man, let me just put this out there as a potential formula. I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm saying this is a potential formula for someone looking for profit. So if I'm sitting here and I'm Mr. Social Security, you know, and I only have so much money, and I see, hey, Giuseppe LaVangula, you're worth X amount of dollars. I'm going to pay you for the next however many years X amount of dollars. It's probably like, you know, I'll probably end up paying you like $250 or something by the time you're dead next mm-hmm. decade. Well, it's a lot cheaper to just pay straight away $35,000 for somebody dying on a respirator.
Right.
I'm just saying, it's a lot, you know, it's less money. So, I mean, maybe it's coming from the same printing press. So, I mean, but I'm not saying that's what's going on. I'm just saying, you know, hey, if America is a capitalist country and the corporation is then the bottom line is the bottom line, then there's people in offices thinking about stuff like I just said and making decisions that are happening. You know, and we see the ramifications of people's decisions that happen, you know, it's like, it's ultimately, don't you believe in the runaway train theory? Like you're on it. And you know, it's going full speed down the track and we're all on it and we know it's going to crash, but there's nothing we can do. We can't get out, you know, we can't get off. So
well, yeah, Jimmy and Scorpio, look at, in our lifetimes, in the past 50 years, the United States has literally been gutted. In the 70s, we were the biggest manufacturing country in the world. We had it all going on and it's been gutted to where now, the only way people make money is through service industry or through insurance or real estate in these bubbles. And the wealth transfer is insanely astounding. They destroyed the working class. They've gutted the bottom half of the middle class now. I mean, I've read statistics where as many as 94% of people in the United States live check to check. And you know, talk about people not remembering. So, you know, my wife and I luckily bought a house and we're moving about an hour south and, we're getting 4.25 acres of land. It's rural. It's cool. And we're paying less than this, all this Agenda 21, Agenda 30 bullshit where these young people are paying more money to live above a Harris Teeter grocery store in a condo apartment. That is on two busy streets and you're above a grocery store and you're near, you can walk to the metro, whatever. They're paying more for that than we are to get a beautiful little piece of land in a rural area. It's insane. And they don't even want that. They don't even know that the only way to survive this is to have a more natural life and all that. It's just tragic. And you're absolutely right that there are a lot of people who are working off of actuary tables that do those, that math exactly, Jimmy. And, mm-hmm. and so then when they can get, the literally kill two birds with one stone. Well, we can get rid of those people and we can do a great genetic experiment so we can push forward towards the singularity and the whole transhuman agenda and get these people wired in so we can put them in mirror world or we can put them in the metaverse. And so they don't even realize that as their physical form withers away, they can act and dance with Madonna or some sick shit. It's just
there
insane.
You go. I mean, you're there, dude. I mean, that is it. I mean, I was watching some young woman out the pay with her phone today.
Yeah.
Just the way she did it, I just happened to notice it. It's just the way she did it. It's like she does it naturally because that's what she does. She doesn't pull money out of her wallet. Now, I sent you guys a link. I've been saying that the banks are going to go away completely. There isn't going to be no retail type banking. And I've been saying it, and I've been saying that, you know, ATMs are going to go away because if you don't need cash, you don't need ATMs, and you don't need banks.
Right.
You don't – no reason to go in there because there's nothing in there for you. So here comes Australia, dude, yesterday. No ATMs.
Right. Unreal.
So, yeah. So, I mean, we're getting to that point. So we're getting to a point where regardless of what you might want to do or what you think, you say, oh yeah, man, I just want to have cash. It won't matter. Cause once the decision get, this crash that's going to happen is going to happen.
Yep.
It has to happen. And there was a thing called Basel III that was supposed to happen this year, beginning of this year. And they postponed it. Okay. And what it was countries were going to have to disclose their derivatives exposure.
Oh yeah. Oh, I tell you what, I can bring that up. I have that bookmarked. I have that website with the U.S. debt clock. Here we go. And they track the derivatives exposure somewhere here in this list of all these things. And it's stunning. It's stunning. Where is it? Let me blow this up. But yeah, Jimmy, you're exactly right. I mean, essentially the derivatives, which is most people listening know what it is, but it's essentially a virtual bet on a bet. You know, like you make typical bet with the kosher casino of Wall Street. You buy a stock to bet on it growing, or you sell short, which is you bet that the stock's going to go down. That's first level generation stuff. But since about the 80s, they've started to create the options and derivative markets where you get to bet on that bet. And it's absurd. And there's literally, you know, if you add three zeros to trillion, it's quadrillion. There is over $5 quadrillion in derivative options bets that can never be repaid. And it's all, you know, it's growing by the minute, by the second as this shows.
That is why they got to wipe it out. They got to wipe it away and come back with the new. It has to be wiped away and coming back with the new, and the new is going to be digital. Because most people are unaware of that aspect of how much money is in that derivative bubble. So when it crashes out, no one will be aware what went away, what disappeared, right, what debts went away. Everybody gets their slates wiped clean. Everybody's hunkering down and getting their stuff into their vaults, because what's left on the table in a few, I don't know how long, is going to disappear. If you got anything on that table in a short amount of time, your investments and everything that you had in there is going to – and the thing about it is people don't realize, you know, in a mortgage agreement with a house, if you owe money on a house, any money, if you owe $1 on a house, a mortgage company could come to you and say, give me my dollar right now. Give me my dollar right now or GTFO of my house.
Yep. Exactly.
And so that's what happened in the Depression. It's not that people didn't own houses and stuff. It's just that, you know, they showed up and said, give me my money. And then they threw you out. And so when they throw everybody out, all those houses are going to be bought up pennies on the dollar by BlackRock. And then there will be no more single family housing anymore. There'll only be rentals. You won't be able to buy a house. You won't be able to buy a car. You won't be able to do anything. You won't want a car. Why would you want it? You're going to get $2,400 a month. You're going to live in an $800 a month pod. And then you just call a car, a self-driving car that takes you where you want to go. Or you get stuff delivered to you and you cook in a common area. I mean, is that a potential future? It sounds potential. I mean, I'm not making it up. I mean, I see things, you know, I read here and there, you know, saw a thing earlier today. It says, how will you own nothing and love it? That's exactly how you described it.
Yep.
You know, you live in a pod, you know, and you got your, you know, you got your thing, your wardrobe, you just flash around town or whatever, go back to your pod. You know, I don't know.
Jimmy, what do you think? What's your vision of the timeline on this sort of transformation happening? What's your timeline on that?
Well, I think we're being set up for the decline of the economy, man, right now. I mean, seriously, any economy that was happening is about to fall off. Because, like, right now, just saying, I applied for a job. Okay, so that job, I got to drive 40 miles to and 40 miles back if I have to drive in my own car. So had I known gas was going to be X amount of dollars, it would have weighed on my decision when they offered me so much money. In other words, when the guy said X, I would have said, no, it has to be Y because of blah, 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 you know. If I'm making good money, now a big chunk of my money is going to come right out just in gas. So hopefully I'll be able to work that out. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I mean, they say that politics is a rich man's game. And ultimately, we all watch what's going on just as though it's a TV show or a movie. And it's put forward to us just like it is because they know exactly from the behavior modification conflict. Data scraping that goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No matter where you are on the face of the earth, every single human being is being data scraped at every single second of the day. So it's not a matter of whether or not the powers that be know how to manipulate a population and to go in a certain direction. I mean, how long is it going to be here in a minute before they say, Putin was throwing babies out of the incubators on the floor?
Right.
You know? And then dudes are going to be going, yeah, you know, because we are a completely volunteer army.
Right.
You know, and the Congress is up there saying those things that they're saying. Do you think if Biden all of a sudden stood up and went, I declare war, do you think anybody would say no? I don't know if they would, but I'll just tell you this. I think people are really have a really a distorted viewpoint about what went on in Ukraine and what's gone on there. And that thing is not only a cesspit, but the conditions that people are living in there, they have high-rise buildings, but there's no water.
Right.
I mean, they don't have any heat. Heat costs half as much as they make. I mean, the way that they're living is the way that a lot of people are going to be living real soon, where you can't afford it. You can't afford it. Can't afford natural gas. You know, Putin's not selling us oil, you know, blah, 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 you know, the domino effect of that.
Well, Jim, that's it. We already went through the whole hour. Thanks for coming on, and let's do it again real soon, man.
Man.
The good.
You were great. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Take care.
Natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone Paper. Welcome to the Crypt.
Thank you. anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.